This is PFW in Progress. PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Oh, fudge.
Only I didn't say fudge.
Paul Perillo.
Fragile. That must be Italian.
I think that says fragile.
Oh, yeah.
And Andy. And Andy?
Andy, don't play with your food. Eat it.
Andy Hart.
Andy, show me how the piggies eat. Eat it, boy. Show mommy how the piggies eat.
Some guy named Tom.
He looks like a deranged Easter bunny. He looks like a pink nightmare.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Holy smokes, only one thing in the world could have dragged me away from the soft glow of electric sex gleaming in the window.
PFW in Progress.
Oh, I'm the Fisher Red Undercover, and I shoot you in a jet with my Lee rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Black Friday. Across America, people are out shopping, except us.
Because we have to work.
We're working.
Thanks,
that's
Gary.
The way it is, because this is the business we've chosen.
Unless welcome, there's a police concert.
Welcome to PFW in Progress. Fred, Andy, Paul, Tom, Gary's in the booth. And we're here for the next 2 hours, bringing you a Friday edition of PFW in Progress, getting ready for this huge Eagles game Sunday.
Providing
night.
A service for the seven other people who have mean bosses that made them work.
And Fred, I just want to clear something up. I know there's a lot of confusion about that line, and some people think it's been taken off because of how big it is. That's not correct. The line is off the board because of McNabb.
They don't know if he's going to play
right,
or not.
That's why it's been taken off the board. Once it gets closer to the game, it'll be put back on the board, probably changed a little bit whether or not. But it looks like he's not going to play because
right.
he hasn't practiced.
I'm not sure there's much of a difference between him and A.J. Feely at this point.
No, but
so I don't know how much that would change the line if he doesn't play.
The only time in my lifetime that lines have been taken off were for Temple years ago when they were getting beat by 50, 60 points a game and Vegas deemed them not competitive. So for 2 weeks they took their lines off. But the NFL, they're never going to take lines off ever.
Right.
So that's just because of McNabb. It's not because of the number.
Okay.
And football night in America. In the house already.
Yeah, the trucks are up here already.
Are the Clydesdales
speaking
here
of, speaking of the holidays, the boys, the Patriots, were lifting a silent night.
What?
And they were lifting to a silent
really?
Night, yeah.
So they're like me. Once Thanksgiving hits, you flick it over to
Bam
holiday.
Childress and Randy Moss had a little exchange. Moss asked Childress, "You going to lift?" And Childress said, "Yeah." And Moss said, "Make sure you do some abs." And Childress replied, "You need to do some push-ups, cuz." So that relaxed atmosphere still in the locker room.
Still
Add
going
Bam
on.
Bam Childress to the meaningless players Randy Moss is friendly with.
Well, Tom,
no offense, Bam.
You were down there today. How was Bill Belichick and how was the locker room?
It was good. I mean, they're loose, like I said. Doesn't
They're not still drunk on tryptophan? They're not sleeping
no,
through the workouts?
No, everyone was Kevin Falk was doing something. I'm not sure what it was. He was doing something. Him and a couple other guys were fooling around. You know, like I said, Moss was walking back and forth. Asked Brady if he had worked out yet. Brady said yes. It's all
good stuff.
Well, I'm just saying they're talking.
No, Fred loves this stuff. The details.
It
it's
is
in the details.
The fans don't have a chance to see this, so they rely on us to paint them a picture
but,
of what's going on.
So is Kevin Falk
on.
Healthy?
He was
totally putting that whatever
did,
behind
well,
him.
Well, he did something like he was throwing a pitch or something, and everyone was laughing, and I don't know what he was doing.
I just think the way he looked on the sideline, the way he left the field, I thought that might be something that could last a week or two, and he seems to be poo-pooing it, and he's not on the injury report.
Yeah, he was as animated as I've seen him in a while in the locker room.
What's the head coach talking about?
4-3, 3-4. Do the Eagles have advantage because you played them in the Super Bowl?
You're talking about Gray, Hannah, Francis. Super Bowl.
Well, I noticed that, you know, this was earlier in the week. He was talking about the Eagles roster, and he was, you know, surprised to see how many guys are still on the roster, core guys that were there when they played in the Super Bowl. He also mentioned something that I thought was kind of a something I think he wanted the Eagles to hear, is that they're pretty much running the same things, same schemes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was at the game.
And he wants those guys to hear that because now they're thinking, oh, he knows what we're going to do. Should we change it up?
But he was quick to point out, not simple. I forgot how he said it. Not that they're simple in any way, but they are doing the same thing.
Hey, you want to know the difference with that? T.O. used to play there, now he doesn't. Randy Moss used to play somewhere else, now he plays here.
Right.
End of the story right there. There's the end of the game.
What does that mean?
So what used to be three-point games are now blowouts.
It means that the Eagles used to have a lot more offensive firepower when Terrell Owens was there.
Well, that's true.
And that's back when Brady didn't have his offensive firepower around him. So anybody who's making any kind of comparisons to that Super Bowl, let's be honest.
I don't really.
This is a different animal here.
Absolutely.
You know, I watched a Cowboys team yesterday who's a great football team. You know, they can score. Their defense looked good. And I'm thinking to myself, they have no chance. That's how bad it is. I was telling Paul upstairs, my buddy's a big Jet fan. So he's been text messaging me all week, you know, kind of riling me up, even though he knew he didn't have a chance. So in the fourth quarter, Fred, I text him back, and I say, next time send me a high school team. At least they'll have a chance. You know what he writes back to me?
What?
It doesn't matter. No one's going to beat the Patriots anyway. I mean, they're ruining all the fun in football. I mean, I'm trying to trash talk about a game that doesn't even include the Patriots. But, you know, you're sitting there. I watch Green Bay. They're a good team. You know, very good. I watch the Cowboys. Good team. But then I'm thinking, they're not even in the Patriots class. That's scary.
And can I keep hearing people say it's amazing how good the Patriots are right now because the league is designed for parity and all that. Doesn't in some way that make it less amazing? Because one team has been able to break the mold. They found their coach. They found their quarterback. They've been able to build whatever. If everybody else is restrained by these parity rules that are supposed to keep everybody on an equal playing field, it only stands to reason that if you can break free of the mold, that it's going to be that much easier for you. You know what I mean?
I think you see that in Indianapolis, too.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, you're looking at two teams that have been very successful over the last 5 years.
So I think the rules that everybody thinks are designed to keep everyone on a level playing field make it easier for the two or three teams that get past that to stay past that and be dominant.
That's fair. That's a good
point. And you know where I think some of the changes need to be made are upper management. I think you have to take a lot of time now and find your coach, put in a system, let them stick with that system and find a quarterback. And I'll give you a good example of what I'm talking about. Look at the difference in the Cleveland Browns. Last year they lost a lot of close games. They had no quarterback play. They finally got a guy that could play a little bit of quarterback. Now they got a shot to make the playoffs. So I think that coach-quarterback connection, we were talking about the Jets upstairs.
Right.
Now, you're going to get a top three pick. If you're the Jets, you better be sure that Kellen Clemens is your guy, or bring in a vet, do something. Because if you're having any doubts, you gotta make a change there. You know, you can't wait. You gotta bring in a guy who you think can be a quarterback. And like we were saying, Revis and David Harris looked great yesterday. So it looks like defensively they're doing some things. But you can't win
without
if you don't have a consistent play from the quarterback position.
Yeah. And isn't it funny how that's changed too after? After the Ravens won the Super Bowl, all you need is a defense and a manager. You know, Brad Johnson.
Yeah,
just get this Brad Johnson type, and you can win. Well, now we've seen you need a quarterback.
If you want to compete year after year.
If you have a quarterback and a coach, I don't care what your defense is. I don't care. You can stay competitive for an extended period of time.
Yeah, because the thing is, you could win it 1 year with a great defense and Trent Dilfer.
Right.
You can't win it. You can't compete year after year after year with that. You need a guy that can play the quarterback. Listen, not everyone's going to have Brady and Manning.
Right.
We understand that. I'm just talking about a guy who can at least play the position.
Speaking of the Browns, what are they going to do with Brady Quinn now if Derek Anderson's the guy?
Why do anything? He's what they got him, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, but don't they have to get rid of him? Because that's a first-round pick. You got to get some
you're
value.
You're early
for that
on
pick.
In the Derek Anderson is great phase. You know, there's a chance he's not as good as he's playing.
I know, but I read today that they're thinking about giving him an extension. No.
The talk is they're going to franchise him because they're not even going to risk going high tender on the restricted free agent. They're going to go franchise, so they just about can't lose him. That's the talk. They're not going to give him a long-term extension until he proves it again next year.
And remember, Steve McNair didn't play for the first 2 years because they had Chandler.
Right.
And McNair kind of said, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If you have a pretty good quarterback in Anderson, you want to see what he can do. I think you wait one more year on that, Fred.
Right.
Let Anderson play one more full season.
Yeah,
is he a Tony Romo or is he a Rex Grossman?
Because he hasn't even started a season yet. I mean, there's been a lot of quarterbacks in this league have been great for 6, 8, 10 games and then didn't end up being great.
Just aside, what's Paul doing?
reading the newspaper.
Paul, you going to be on the show today?
I was reading Mike Felger's story that Fred told me was...
I thought it was pretty good.
Really good.
He's playing the role of Andy Hart on the Mike Felger show. That's what I did last week for the first 15 minutes of the show.
What did you
think? Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, let's talk about these games a little bit.
It's another one of those things like broadcast news. It comes out Andy, Tom, and Paul's mouth and gets regurgitated in other places.
And then it's on the big show.
Hey, Glenn. Happy Thanksgiving.
Lucky.
Oh, so you're taking credit for Felger's article?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Hey, Cartman, look. Cartman's doing the starting lineup. Give me live audio from this game. Cartman's doing the starting lineup for Colorado.
No, that's pretty
good. Come on.
Anyway, you'll see probably on...
That'll be on
Tyler Columbus. He's really good at being offensive. He offends just about everyone. All the time.
All right.
Can I get a tape of that?
We're going to have to YouTube that.
All right. Lucky's on the phone, says Gary. Hey, Lucky, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How was Thanksgiving?
It was excellent.
Good, great.
How about you?
Excellent.
Mine was cool. My family came up from Connecticut and hung out with me, so
That was great.
But I had to send them back home.
Yeah.
I was going to say, right. If that was me, that wouldn't constitute a very good Thanksgiving.
Sometimes the least you're with your family, the more fond you become of them.
Yeah, they wanted to stay a couple more days, but I had to work.
Yeah, so. You were having none of that.
No, I wasn't. It was bad enough that they were taking over my TV. I couldn't watch no movies, playing no 360.
Uh-oh.
Couldn't do anything, so I just stayed upstairs on the computer and watched some football.
There you go.
So the time spent with your family wasn't really spent with your family.
I was going to say, you spent it by yourself watching football.
I did a little cooking, you know, and that was about it. I mean, we had some fun.
Nice. Do you have a big family?
It's not that big. My mom, both my sisters and my nephews came up along with my grandfather and my cousin.
Okay,
cool. So,
very good.
It was cool. It was not really that much room in the house, but, you know, other than that.
So Lucky, I hear you're springing for lunch today.
Yeah, it should be on the way.
Thank you very much.
You're the best.
It's 45 minutes, so it should be in about 15 minutes, I think.
You're the best.
You made our...
Thank you very much, Lucky.
Black Friday, not so black anymore for us.
I know, I wanted to go out and go shopping, but I had to be here at 6:30 in the morning, so I couldn't really do anything.
Cool.
Which sucks, because there's absolutely nothing going on base right now.
Well, you can go shopping.
I can't just leave, because I know as soon as I leave, they'll come looking for me.
There'll be a plane that needs fixing as soon as he goes shopping.
Exactly. So what are you talking about? I can't listen to the show
Cleveland,
live, so.
The Cleveland Browns and their quarterback situation with Derek Anderson and Brady Quinn.
And Brady Quinn.
What do you do? What do you do if you're Cleveland?
Protect yourself and freaking tag Anderson. At least give him a high franchise tender or franchise tag him. Well, he's a restricted free agent next year, right?
Yeah, that's what we were basically saying. You got to buy yourself one more year to make a decision long term.
Yeah. That's what it looks like they're going to do anyway.
So he gets if they franchise him, he gets the average of the top five quarterback salaries. So he's going
to
be making
they can just,
10
give him that restricted free agent tender.
Guaranteed.
Yep, he's going to.
Not bad.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not a bad deal for him at all.
No.
For Derek Anderson, who was in like the fight of his life for a job 3 months ago.
Right.
Not bad.
Yeah,
not
good.
Bad
good.
At all.
It'd be one of the rare times I think a player wouldn't be all that disappointed to be franchised, because
no.
It would give him a 1 year guaranteed excellent salary for a guy who hasn't made any money in the league at all.
I might franchise
and he's not
Tom.
And he's not in line to get.
I think I might franchise Tom Casale.
You franchise Tom
to make the top average salary of the top five. Team newspaper writers.
Well, Fred, you
that's
only have
a, that's another. That's another.
So actually, you'll get a decrease.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the one instance where another guy wouldn't mind being franchised if it's going to increase my salary, because I don't mind being out of here after a year. It's good for me.
All right. Well, the food's on the way, so I'm going to let you guys go.
All right.
Go back and do no work.
Okay.
All right. Have fun,
right, Lucky.
Thanks,
what
Lucky.
Are you going to be at the stadium on Sunday?
She's probably about 4 hours before the game.
Game starts at 8:15.
I'll
be here by about 8:10.
You're right.
No, we'll be here well in advance.
Yeah, give Fred a call.
All right, I'll give y'all a call when I get up there.
Okay.
Take care.
All right,
see
you,
Lucky.
Much.
Thank you. Thank
all right.
you very much.
Lucky.
My taxpayer.
Oh, that was interference, Tom, no?
Out in Western Mass, calling in.
Doing a fine job. Quiet day on the base, apparently.
So, Tom, I know you watched the game. Paul, boycotted the NFL.
I didn't boycott it. I just didn't get a chance. I watched a little of the Packers-Lions game, and then I was...
You said you had no interest.
I didn't really have any interest in watching the other two games because I knew they were going to be blowouts.
He also has a family that didn't go to a different state for Thanksgiving.
Right. No, I was with my family. That's all.
I'd still watch the games.
Well, I know. That's what you do.
Here we go. So I'm a bad guy because I like to
watch
NFL
football?
No, but
you're a bad guy because you lie.
No, it's I'm a bad guy because I don't watch neutral football games religiously like you do. That's all.
That doesn't make me a bad guy.
No, I'm the bad guy.
I didn't say you were a bad guy.
Oh, boy.
Thank God no one's listening.
I was going to say, this is one of those days that we're going to benefit from the fact that no one's actually working.
I thought you liked football. I'm curious.
I do. I do like football.
Not enough to watch it, though.
Not enough to watch bad football, no.
He went to a high school game yesterday.
See, I'll watch any NFL
game. Did you?
Game.
Did you go to a high school game?
Hell
I thought you liked
no.
football. That's football.
Did we get... Did I get
Gary
to the
went
end?
To my game.
I went to
my alma mater's game. Gary went to my alma mater's
Where'd you
game.
Go?
Hey, that's big.
Dennis Yarmouth.
Huh?
Oh, against Seekonk?
Chowder Cup?
That's big.
Seekonk? Those Seekonk uniforms are awesome.
No, Dennis Yarmouth against Nossett. Nossett.
Oh, who did Dennis Yarmouth?
You're going to have one less listener pretty soon, Tom Casale.
I saw good uniforms on one of those
Back
games.
Cover. Melrose ends drought against Wakefield. 14 years.
Well, right. If anyone's interested in New England or Massachusetts, Thanksgiving is a big high school rivalry day.
So, I love the rivalry.
Unfortunately, my high school never was good enough to have anyone that was a rival.
Imagine that, Paul. It makes a bad back cover, and I didn't even go. I went to Fred's.
Yeah, why were you at Fred's high school?
I was on the Cape.
Why were you on the Cape?
My parents lived there.
Oh. I thought your parents lived in Hawaii. No? Okay.
What?
By the way, Gary's collecting toys, so if anyone has toys.
Yes. Send them in for Gary.
Yeah. He does it every year.
I actually
I'm not
do.
Really collecting them. I'm
yeah, they're not for him. They're not for
so.
Him.
They're not so he can play with them. They're not
no,
for
he,
his wife.
Now you go. You guys go out and you give them away, right? He and
you're
Kylie.
Dressed as Santa.
Children's Hospital. They
go to the
Santa.
Children's
all
Hospital.
All they need to be is a
the only thing with
that.
Beard
on
thought
there.
That's why he got so big. He wanted to be a realistic Santa.
Oh boy,
man. Does anyone else think Gary looks like Holstein? A little bit.
A little bit. You got to take the hat off. It's the hair that does part. The hairline.
Yeah.
I always thought that Gary looked a lot like now. Rich Eisen. If you look,
a little bit.
A little bit. I see a little Rich Eisen.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
It's a mix between Hochstein and Rich Eisen.
Okay. All right. So if our listeners want to paint that picture in their mind,
but
that's
more
what Gary looks
send
like.
Send toys for Gary. Care of Gary, One Patriot Place, July.
Hey, Gary, my problem with that is I do have a lot of stuff, but most of it is for really small, you know, infants and toddlers. Is that all right?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Because I do have a sizable
be,
contribution.
It's supposed to be new stuff, right, Gary? Not used stuff, right?
Yeah, Paul's bringing his wiffle ball back.
Oh, absolutely. But it has to be unwrapped, though, right? No, I
got nothing for you. Sorry.
I wouldn't give you, like, a teething ring that my kid used already. Just, you know.
I got some diapers.
Fred,
they're a little brown and yellow.
I think Fred's trying to do
those
something.
Those are Andy's. All right.
I'm talking about stuff that's never been used, Fred. Just... I thought that part of it was kind of, okay. You know, didn't need to be said.
You're going
to
fight again now?
what else you got, Fred?
Well, you know, Tom, since you're the only one that watched the games along
Andy
with me,
them.
I just wanted to know what you thought about the games.
I didn't watch the night game. I couldn't. I'm a man of the people, and I'm uniting with my brothers, and I don't have the NFL Network.
Tom, yeah. What's up with the Colts?
That you gumble last night. Okay, let's bring in Chris Collinsworth. Hey, Chris. What's up with the Colts?
So he's Fred?
So you weren't happy with the NFL
that got
network.
Worse, and they got to get rid of him. He didn't get any better from last year. If anything, he's worse. It's like you said, Fred. It's like he's on what did he used to be doing?
The Today Show.
That's
right.
It's boring. But, no, I thought I was impressed by the Packers. You know, they got down early, came back. Detroit kind of came back on them, and they put the nail in the coffin.
As soon as Detroit, you know, was kicking field goals, they said they're not going to win this game. There's just no way. They got to score touchdowns against the Packers.
And I was telling you guys upstairs, anybody who's thinking about taking the 30 points when the Patriots play the Jets, the Cowboys basically sleptwalked through that game. They weren't really up for it. You could tell from the start, excuse me, and they beat them by 31 points. It was just a demolition.
Yeah.
But I did think the Jets, I was impressed with the defense by some of their younger players. Revis, David Harris is all over the place. Yep. You talk about Marion Barber. I don't think I've seen a guy take him down three times in a game as cleanly as Harris. He had no Harris just went right through him.
Yeah.
So very good tackler. Revis, I was impressed with his physical play at the line of scrimmage and the way he looks back for the ball. That's the one thing I don't think he can teach a corner.
And Dwayne Robertson has been a
playing
pass rushing
very
machine
well.
Of late.
Well, then I was watching the Colts.
If they had the huge game against Pittsburgh that we watched.
Their
defense tweaked him a little.
Their defense did enough to spring the upset. They got tired in the fourth quarter, but Newman had the touchdown return. Their defense played very well.
Then I was watching the Colts and the Falcons, and the Atlanta jumps out to a 10-0 lead, and they were running the ball. And I was thinking, oh, you know, this could be it. Maybe now we're finally seeing that Colts defense get wore down. But that was it. After that, they scored 3 points, and the Colts defense,
looks
really good. And, you know, it's not just – it wasn't Sanders. This other guy, Bethea. Antoine Bethea, he looked great.
I did see that highlight of that hit on to cause the interception. Well, I don't know if they called it a fumble or an interception. It didn't matter because he caught it in the air. But that was a great hit by Bethea.
He was all over the place. So it didn't look like they missed much.
I think with Gonzalez in there now, the offense picked up a little bit because that Moorhead was just terrible.
Well, let's be honest. They also played the Falcons.
No, yeah, but they needed a game like this.
Right.
They needed a game to get back. You know,
plus they played the Chiefs last week, and it was the same old stuff.
Saying
you know?
They didn't miss Freeney.
But I thought Tony, they said Tony Dungy said something that I thought was interesting. He said he was kind of predicting this tough stretch with the Patriots and the Chargers, and they kind of had a little bit of a letdown against. But he said he feels this December run here that they're going to be all right. They're starting to get healthy, and he feels pretty good about the end of the season for them. So I thought that was interesting.
Did Rice play? Is he playing for them yet?
I heard his name on the
Rice
radio.
Rice played. He had a sack.
I saw a lot of Raheem
Brock. The guy ran like, you know, 50 yards backwards. It was, you know, Simeon caught up with him. It wasn't really a...
But was he chasing him?
He was chasing him. He caught up to him.
It's called a sack.
Yeah. No, but it was kind of a cheap sack. It wasn't your normal
Did
sack.
Did the guy fall down and he went over and touched him? Like, was that like a Roosevelt Colvin
sack? Not quite, but it was the guy kind of gave up.
Yeah, but if he's chasing him, then I mean...
Obviously, he didn't have a sack.
One of Gumbel's great lines during the game, according to Gary, was Superman wears Bob Sanders underwear.
I don't know what that means.
It's pretty stupid.
I think Randy Moss had a Superman jacket hanging in his locker the other day that was
He's got that cold stuff that you always point out.
Pedialyte?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Moss a little bit under the weather
with
the coach.
Illness making the way
with
through.
The coach.
Yeah, maybe Bill has been spitting on him in the front row and all of a sudden it's spreading. Got to keep an eye on that, Fred.
Well, with
this
all the
time
saliva they've been exchanging lately,
easy.
Yeah, I think I said that, Andy.
I would have gone bodily fluids there.
Well, that's a tough one right there.
But you do have to keep an eye on that at this time of the year. I mean, we always get sick, and they're human beings. You never know when that runs through a locker room.
This is the time of the year.
That's why you always get it. Tom doing a good job there in the locker room for us today, keeping an eye on the Pedialyte bottles.
There you go.
But it was a day of uninspiring football, I guess I would call it.
It's called the NFL these days.
You know, like I said, the Jets, I thought they tried. I'll give them that. But I'm saying,
back to your old theory.
I don't think they just came in there and just rolled. I thought, that, especially on defense, they were really playing hard. They just don't have any talent.
Right.
Well, and, you know.
Now you and I both noticed the same thing. Mangini, at the end of
the game. Oh, he looks like death.
He really looks gone.
I mean, even Allison noticed
it, too. He must have lost like 50
pounds. She said, what's wrong with him?
And to lose that much weight in that short a period of time tells me that it's more than just Weight Watchers.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
He's under a lot of heat. And
yeah.
That he looked terrible. Even just like his face and I mean, he looked like he was about to die.
Yeah, he really looked bad. So,
do you think he could be out?
I don't know.
If I were the Jets, I wouldn't. I'd give him – he had one good year. He had one. Let's see which one was the aberration.
Yeah, no, I'm not advocating firing him. I'm saying, do you think he could be out? You think they might get rid of him? I mean, that's one place that I think it could be. You have one good year and one disaster, and they could
and they get
rid
of
you.
I just think his relationship with Tannenbaum,
that's the thing,
makes him
gives him at least one more year to.
Well,
prove
what makes you think Tannenbaum's safe?
Well, if they both go,
I
think they're both.
I would think that if they make a move, they would clean house.
Well, then yeah, there's a chance, but
I'd give him one more year.
No,
I think that's
a bad idea, too. I would, too. I agree with
you
guys.
I think 2 years in to fire your GM and your head coach is a dumb move.
To answer your question, I wouldn't be shocked at all if they fired him.
Just to kind of sever complete ties with all of that, You know, whatever.
And hire Josh McDaniels.
You know, whatever extraneous stuff is lingering from the whole scandal at the beginning of the year. Let's just try to rid ourselves of all of that and move in a completely new direction. I don't think it'll happen either, but I'm wondering. Like I said, New York is one of the rare places I think it could happen.
Yeah.
You know, most places you'd say, well, he had one really good year, and then, you know, they took obvious steps backwards this year, and let's see what happens. Let's give him the third year and see what direction we're headed.
This owner, Woody Johnson, who owns the Jets, I don't think he's been in the league long enough to be one of those impetuous type of guys that want to make changes. I think he's still trying to learn the ropes as well. The only way I think that would happen is if they've got something lined up with a guy like Bill Cowher.
Yeah. Like a huge name.
They know they can get Cowher, you know.
Yeah, you're not going to fire Mangini and bring in like Lane Kiffin.
Right.
What's the point?
Right.
That would really suck for Brian Daboll, huh? He goes there thinking, I'm 1 year away from
being
a coordinator.
I'm going to be a coordinator and now I'm out of a job and I can't go back there.
Right.
And the one area I would give Mangini a little slack because I think he made a rookie mistake as a head coach. He should have started out in the 4-3. Until he got his 3-4 talent there.
Smart.
He kind of went to
really
that 3-4 just because that's you can't run what you want to run if you don't have the pieces to run it.
I think that's part of being a good coach.
Especially when you have good pieces to run a 4-3 and
the other problem
you're force-fitting them into a 3-4.
That Mangini has is with Brian Schottenheimer and Daboll because Daboll went over there thinking he was going to get that coordinator's job eventually, and now Mangini has a problem with Brian Schottenheimer. Yeah. Is he going to get rid of Schottenheimer next year?
Yeah,
and elevate Daboll?
I would think that's a foregone conclusion.
If Mangini's employed, then Dable's the coordinator.
But I think that Tom's point is really a good one because, you know, remember, think back at 2001 when Belichick obviously wanted that whole season to run a 3-4, and they just couldn't do it. Every time he tried it, Andy, remember the last game even after everything was kind of sewn up in Carolina? And went down there and played that awful 1-14 Carolina team. And they tried to use the 3-4 because that's what Bill wanted to do. And that
Richard Huntley
was
rushed for
gashing
them
all over the place. They couldn't do it. They didn't have the personnel to do it. That's part of being a good coach. Recognizing what your talent is and what your limitations are and catering your system to the talent and not force-feeding the talent into your system. And I think that's why Bill was successful then, and I think that's one of the reasons that have hurt, one of the bad things that Mangini's done this year.
All right. Well, Gary, let's take a break right now, and we'll be back with your emails after this.
Belichick took forever in his press conference, and Fred just wants the highlights.
Dude, we don't remember. It was really long and stupid.
He's been a 3-time champion, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
3 touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at Patriots extra points.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. The holiday season has officially started, so that means...
Andy, are you listening to Christmas music now on the way
All
in?
The way in this morning.
Really?
Actually, broke down a little bit on Wednesday night.
So, you know, it's open season for talking about gifts that you want. And, you know, we'll be interjecting conversation between now and December 25th with our favorite gifts that we'd like to see.
Now, I'd like to throw out there, anyone own a RoboPanda? Any of our listeners?
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
I'm intrigued by RoboPanda, but don't want to waste my money if it's not that cool.
This is for you or for Jackson?
Well, it's for Jackson, but sort of for
me, like
too.
The Bo Jackson jersey. Fred, do we still get that 30% off at the pro shop, or
sure.
Is that another perk you took away from us?
No, we still get that for the time being.
Another perk you took away from us.
You join a fan club, do you get an extra 10% off?
So why you thinking of doing some shopping over there?
Yeah, you know, a couple of sweatshirts, cheap, the ones on sale, and hats, the ones on sale.
Wow,
Fred, have you never seen boobs before?
Apparently not, because he's going.
Because I got some internet sites you can go to. You see a lot better than that.
Strippers hooks us up.
No, the Mexican channel leaves more to the imagination.
The Mexican channel.
That's what it is, right?
They just happen to come from Mexico.
Doesn't this emanate El Gundo? What is it?
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Telemundo?
In English, please.
El Gundo.
You made us come in for this.
You are a complete debacle.
This is the best you got. You sit. I mean, look at him. He's sitting there staring at the TV. Host the show.
Well, it's pretty amazing. I don't know how they.
I don't know if you know, Tom, but there are no emails because no one's working today.
Oh, no, there's plenty of emails. And we're going to get to those. Webradio and Patriots.
None that came in today. It's not the Heine he's looking at.
Webradio and Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And Mike and Sharon is on the phone. Mike, how you doing?
Good, guys. You guys have a good Thanksgiving?
We sure did. How about
excellent,
you?
Excellent, Mike.
Yeah, I had a good Thanksgiving. But anyways, I want to talk about Brian Westbrook and just the fact that, you know, he's probably the only one that we need to stop. Well, not the only one, but essentially the focal point of.
I'd go only one.
Him and Hank Baskin.
Yeah. You got to watch out for the height on Baskin. Andy's the best blocking
Westbrook,
receiver.
Westbrook, Mike, you're right. Westbrook is excellent, and certainly that. I think that'll be one of those, you know, the one thing you need to take away that Bill always talks about, that'll be it.
Yeah, I think so, too, and then I think it's just clear sailing tomorrow night. I mean, Sunday night. Feels like a Saturday, doesn't it?
It does feel like a Saturday, except we're working.
Yeah, I'm not home in my sweatpants. That feels like
Fred's
a Saturday.
Mean.
Fred's
well,
a big meanie.
You're talking about Telemundo, so, you know.
Well, that's Fred, because he can't get his eyes off the damn TV.
You should see what they're showing on the station right
Everybody's
now.
Everybody's seen it. It's a regular TV channel.
No, not, it's just one after another here. It's just a barrage of boobs right now.
Escándalo.
Everybody has seen it.
It's the year in review, the best of boobs.
Oh, is that right?
PFW in progress. Oh.
What is wrong with you?
Okay, guys, have a good day.
All right,
okay,
thanks.
Sir,
all right,
Mike.
Mike, I know you tried to bring some football to the table, but Fred
well,
is at the front
like,
of the ship.
It's like Section D at the Jets.
But he does
game.
Bring up a good point. I mean, I'm a huge Westbrook fan, probably just from seeing him play the Cowboys a lot. You know, that's a guy I really like. But it's tough to beat the Patriots when you only have one weapon is one of the reasons why the Colts are one of the few teams. But here's a question I wanted to pose to the emailers. I know how good this Patriots team is. But any worry whatsoever about a team that's starting to catch fire a little bit in the Denver Broncos? Because as we know, that's been Patriots' kryptonite before. Now, don't bring up that they got killed by Detroit and all that. I'm talking about moving forward.
Right
if this
now.
Is a team that catches fire, starts playing well,
I would accept
wins
that
the
their
division.
Defense isn't what it used to be.
But I'm saying, what if it gets a little, you know, it starts getting better? They play a lot of young guys.
Champ Bailey, Dre Bly, they just one knowing, team that could actually match up and, some corners.
Right, and I don't really want to, like, break down their team and say they have this. Just knowing that Shanahan has given Belichick.
It's definitely a wild card. I was thinking about that. You know, that's definitely one of
the. Fans will be afraid of them because fans fear the
that's
Broncos.
That's been an Achilles heel, but you know that any game they do play would be in Foxborough, so that's a little bit
and
of a help.
And they wouldn't have Travis Henry, which is a.
So,
but they do have Andre. But
they have Andre Hall, though.
But it is interesting. After all of this, they could win that West. You know the way they're playing, and the way
San
Diego
doesn't turn it around quick, they will win that West.
You know, so it's interesting. There's still 6 weeks left in the season.
I don't believe San Diego's going to turn it around. I don't think it. 11-12 weeks into the season, you say, "All right, let's start playing."
They don't have the character.
They are what they are now.
Yeah, they don't have the character.
They lost to the Chiefs. They lost to the Vikings. They lost. Who they just lose to? Paul, this past
Jacksonville.
Week. They got, you know, they got pretty much dominated at Jacksonville. It's a team that, you know, you are what you are.
If I had two symbols this year to kind of personify this San Diego's season, I would have a picture of North Turner on the sideline and a picture of Sean Merriman getting folded in half by Jones Drew. And that's it. That's their season right there.
I really need to see that.
Oh, that was good.
Oh,
it's a very, very good hit.
Wonder if
he
that's
just
on
leveled
YouTube.
Got to be.
He just leveled
YouTube.
I don't think Merriman even knew what happened afterwards. He just ended up on his butt. It was
that Jones Drew's a tough
one. Usually when you see a block like that where a guy gets knocked off his feet, it's either one of those semi blindside, you know, and the guy doesn't know what's coming, or you go low and you chop him down. This was the guy's blitzing right at Jones Drew. He hit him with his shoulder right in the chest and knocked him down. I can't even think of another time I saw it except for that Chad Brown one.
All I can think of, Paul, is the program when Latimer was on steroids and when he was off steroids.
Yep.
Then he's back on.
Yep.
Speaking of that, I think that's a fair matchup between those two, if you know what I'm saying.
Well, that's why it was all he could think of.
No. I'm thinking it's a fair matchup because they're both dabbling.
Jones is a rolling ball of muscle.
I see what you're saying. My bad. I'm sorry.
Guy's a rolling ball of muscle.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's get to some emails. Dan wants to know, did Brady really say he wanted to kill the other team? It's all over Fox.
Yes.
Yeah, it just, here we go again.
But it doesn't mean anything.
He was just saying, we don't want to win by three. If we're up 42-7, we don't want it to be 42-21. We're just trying to kill teams.
Right, but it's been a big thing. It was on Florio.
Can't say the word kill anymore. Is that where we are?
Is that what there's a controversy because he used the word kill?
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ridiculous. I thought it was, cause to me, the telling part of the quote to me is they've been claiming, not so much they, but the Patriots sycophants have been saying that they're not running up the score, whereas this is the quarterback now openly saying we are.
Right.
It's every bit very much intentional what they're doing.
Paul's right. Everyone's missed the story.
That's the story.
No one's talking about that. He's saying we want to destroy everybody.
Right.
And no one's picked up.
What
on
was he
that.
Supposed to say? We're trying to beat the teams by a lot of points.
Right.
Come on.
He says no. We want to go in. We want to dominate. We want to intimidate.
He said the politically correct version of what Fred Kirsch said on this show a few weeks ago with the rape and the pillaging. That's what he wants to do. He wants to kill everybody. He wants to break their spirit. And if you've ever gone into one of those locker rooms after the game, you know that what they're doing is working.
So yes, he did say that, but it's been kind of taken literally.
I think the other thing he said that, you know, we had been kind of bringing up is the next opponent. He said, we don't want the teams we're going to face to not be intimidated. You know the Eagles were watching that game. I don't care who you are. If you're the Eagles, you got to say, that offense is looking pretty good right now.
Guys, you know, little injuries are turning into big injuries because they don't want to be part of this thing.
I actually thought of Brady yesterday when I was at my high school football game, and they were up 43-0 at halftime and sat all the starters and gave up 2 second-half touchdowns. I'm thinking, they got no chance against Brockton in the playoff game because Brockton saw that and saw weakness. That's the dumbest theory I've ever heard of in my life.
Dan at Smithfield, I was listening to your debate about Captain Crunch cereal on Wednesday. All I could think about was the episode of Family Guy where the captain is asking the Godfather to off Count Chocula because he's been spreading rumors that his cereal cuts the inside of your mouth.
So there's a whole Family Guy
episode
on it?
You've got to be kidding me.
No, that's
so
what
thank
he says.
You, Fred. You just are so blind.
I've never heard it before.
Yeah, Fred, I'm not going to jump on you. You just said you never heard it before.
Yeah, I
think he just it was trying to be the opposite of us. That's what you do.
I think he honestly never heard of it before.
That is what you do, Fred.
I try to be the... Well, I don't have to try much. You know, being a nice guy compared to an A-man.
He plays the nice guy card.
That's the first time he'll ever play that card.
And last.
Compared to you, Charlie Manson's a nice guy, for crying out loud. Is it
maybe,
Charlie?
Maybe we'll videotape you off the air.
Just to his friends, it's Charlie. Right.
Maybe I'll stick my recorder up when you're talking in the office, and we'll play it on the air.
Who's Mr. Nice Guy?
Yeah, we'll see how nice you are.
When you show your true colors.
Mr. Rape and Pillage.
That's all right.
Poor girl in that restaurant that we went to the other day. She's trying to do her job. And you're going to clear the table? I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm Fred Kirsch.
Whoa.
Fred was in the right. Oh,
this was after 45 minutes of a browbeating.
Hey, there's Hartman.
Give me the audio,
guys.
Give me the audio.
I just made that up. Colorado has awesome linebackers, and Jordan Dyson is the latest. He's sure to win the butt kiss award because he's the biggest butt kisser I know. In the secondary, Wheatley has more interceptions than Boulder has hippies. And Boulder has a lot of hippies.
They should have Cartman do it for every game. Parker,
they should. Yeah, it's tremendous.
But what were we saying?
This guy's a good player, by the way.
Fred, even I have to defend you on that one. After 45 minutes of browbeating from Andy Hart,
I did what Andy was afraid to do.
I was going to say,
now he's making fun of you.
Let's paint the picture here. Andy Hart, the most gutless guy in the world, won't go and complain. He's begging someone else to go up there and do it for him. Then Fred does it, gets us the table. And now,
I make fun of him.
Yeah.
Right. It's the beauty of me.
Loser. Let's see. Anthony writes in, do you think if Randy keeps being as productive as he has the past few months, that he'll get offered a big 5 or 6 year deal when the season's over?
He's not getting no 5 or 6 year deal.
I don't know about a 5 or 6 year deal, but I definitely think he's going to get
maybe two. Three.
Let's throw some. Paul, I don't know if you heard this.
Go ahead.
A caller on when we were on Felger had an interesting point. I was talking about how Moss kind of stumped, got choked up with Andrea Kramer talking about how much he loves it here. So a caller who I believe was a Patriots fan, wasn't he, Andy?
Yeah, probably.
Said, we're all taking the bait. He said, I can't believe you guys are taking the bait. He said, this is all acting by Moss, that he's doing this to reestablish his name and himself. And then once the season's over, he's going to ask for a ton of money.
Of course he is.
Well, why shouldn't he?
No, but I mean, he's not going to, it's not like, oh, he's happy.
But not, I want to be a Patriot.
It's I'll go to the highest bidder type thing where we all think that he's going to, kind of likes it here. And
I understand what that point is.
He's not going to go to a Jets team. Or a team that was really bad this year, he's not going to go to.
See, this guy thinks that he's going to take the highest bidder.
You make sure you I know you will anyway, but you can hold me to this. You won't hear 1 ounce of criticism out of my mouth about Randy Moss if he decides to take the highest bidder or whatever.
I don't blame him.
Look, his career needed rehab, okay? He recognized that the best place for him to get that rehab was with New England and Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. He came here and he delivered.
And I think
he delivered.
And I think
so he is in the position now to get whatever he wants. Now, if what he wants is to stay a New England Patriot and he'll take less to do it, more power to him. If what he wants is to go out and become the highest paid wide receiver in football, he earned that.
See,
I won't buy it. You won't hear me criticizing
him. Unless he complains when he goes to his new place.
That's different.
That's the only thing.
No, but my issue is I don't think any of this is an act. I just don't think it is either. If he goes to another place and signs a $30 million deal and all of a sudden starts saying
being
they're
a
not
jerk
throwing
again
to me, I'll say,
right,
then he's the best actor I've ever seen because
I just don't think you can act.
And we all took it hook, line,
all the way, at 11:30 on a Tuesday afternoon talking Oscar Lua. I mean, that would be the most calculated, impressive change of image for
you'd be the smartest guy I've ever met.
Yeah, no question.
I totally agree with Andy.
It'll be like, remember the day I tried to not make fun of anybody for a full day and I lasted 45 minutes?
He was worse than Chandler Bing.
And remember, all the bitching and moaning that he did at the Raiders wasn't because he wasn't being paid what he thought he was worth. It's because they were just a bad team and he wanted out.
And I believe that.
Winning.
I believe that. I believe that he was in such a bad position. With the team and in his lot on the team.
Right.
He had no players around him.
That's the other thing Paul and I talked about earlier is everybody says we talked about what would happen if, he goes through a tough period or will his true colors. We're never going to know. Because first of all, the place that was whoever's open, he's now openly admitting some plays they throw to whoever's open. Others are drawn up to get it to a certain guy. That's Randy Moss. Well, we've seen that when he threw six straight passes to Moss in Indy.
And I know, like, everyone likes to be cynical, but isn't there a case to be made that the guy just grew up?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, yesterday, Allison asked me, she's like, do you think T.O. and Moss are both happy now? And I said, here's the difference. I think Moss was immature and has kind of grown up, where T.O.'s just flat out nuts.
Right.
And you don't know what he's going to do. Yeah. I mean, I'm somebody who's made a lot of mistakes in my life and everything, but I grew up and got past that. If you look at Minnesota, he wasn't really a cancer, I don't think. He did a lot of immature things.
Right.
And then in Oakland is where he kind of, but like you said, Fred, even Rod Woodson agreed with you that it's just a miserable situation to be in when you have no hope. I just honestly think he's a guy who grew up.
Yeah. I think there's some truth to that, too. But, you know, to illustrate Andy's point further, we were talking, Fred, what did we say even, you know, when we made the trade, all four of us were saying, you know, a hypothetical kind of thing. What would happen? We all loved the trade. All four of us loved the trade when they made it, not just because they didn't give up anything, but we just thought they were getting a special player. But the one fear we had was, what happens if you go maybe a 2 or 3 game stretch and Moss catches, let's say a 3-game stretch, Moss catches a combined 10 passes, and the Patriots lose 2 out of those 3 games. So you can't fall back on, well, we're winning anyway, and this is what I wanted.
Right.
We're losing, and I'm not getting the ball.
Right.
What would happen? Well, we'll never know.
Right.
We'll never know because there'll never be a 3-game stretch that he only gets 10 catches because Brady throws to him more than anybody else.
Yeah. Certainly won't be a 2-game losing streak.
And there's certainly not going to be any 2-game losing streaks or 2 out of 3 losses. They're not going to lose to anybody. So,
right.
You know, we're never going to find out that hypothetical situation, and I personally think that he'd deal with that too because I just think the guy has changed, and I'll be wrong if he goes and starts whining about his role with another team.
I heard Schefter this morning on the local radio station talking about if it had played out differently and the Packers had gone through, stepped up to the plate and traded for him, would we have a more entertaining NFL season on our hands? Because he'd be in Green Bay closing the gap, also closing it because he wouldn't be in New England. Would we have a better potential Super Bowl to look forward to?
I think he's
but what if he what if he went to Green Bay and Green Bay was setting all the records? Favre's having a great year.
Yeah.
What if you know, add but 16 I, touchdown catches
no, but
for
the
Randy
point
Moss
was, the
in,
Patriots
in Green
are still
Bay.
A better team than Green Bay.
No,
but the
I,
gap would be closed significantly.
I agree with that, but
addition
with the,
and subtraction.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's only one game difference.
Oh, come on! You really think that the
I don't think Green Bay is very good. I've been saying that all
Patriots.
Year. No, but they're only one game different right now. I think Green Bay's not that good, but I'm obviously wrong.
Yeah, they'll get their whooping on Thursday.
They're not that good.
I watched them again the other day. Yesterday, that's the only game I watched for a quarter and a half, and Detroit dominated them.
I think overall in the history of NFL, they're not that good. But in today's NFL, they're one of the elite teams. There's no doubt about it.
See, I just think if you put a round robin together with Patriots, Colts, Cowboys, Packers, I think the Packers will get exposed.
Well, maybe those four teams, but that's still what I'm saying.
I'm not comparing it to another year.
Top 14.
But I'm not comparing it to another year. I'm comparing it to the good teams in this league.
Andy,
to me,
now,
the Packers are not a good team.
Andy,
I don't know.
See, that's how I felt, but I think I'm wrong.
But we'll find out.
Right.
Yeah. The Cowboys stayed with the Patriots for 3 quarters, so they're obviously a pretty good football team, okay?
Yep.
Green Bay goes to Dallas this Thursday. Let's see what they got.
Right.
You know, if they get blown out, obviously everyone who said that they were an artificial team is correct.
Right.
But even if they lose and play well, that means them and the Cowboys are kind of neck and neck. So we'll find out how
good they
are.
But the argument that I was trying to make is, don't you think that if you took Moss out of the equation, the Patriots are still very good, no doubt. But isn't that what made this offense historical?
You have to.
Yeah. Yeah, Patriots
that.
Are 10-1. They'll probably lose a Colts game.
They may still be undefeated. I don't know. But
the argument
saying,
wasn't about history. It was about looking for a competitive Super Bowl, build up towards a potential Super Bowl challenger.
No, I think
there's a team out there.
People
that would
be
have a
saying,
challenge.
Oh, maybe Green Bay.
But if
could
the Patriots were just a regular offense and not this historical juggernaut that can't be stopped, and in turn, Green Bay was not just this team that no one really believes in, but they would, you know, pasting teams every week with Randy Moss catching passes, maybe we wouldn't look at it that way is what I'm trying to say. I don't know. I agree with Andy. I don't understand how Green Bay does it. I did watch the first part of that game yesterday, and Detroit was better for a quarter and a half, and all of a sudden you look up and Green Bay is winning 7-6, and you're like, how did that happen?
Right.
You know, how did that happen?
What if the Cowboys had traded for Moss?
Oh boy.
Then they would have T.O. and Moss.
Well, then they, the Cowboys would be 2-8.
Yeah, I was going to say 3-7, but 2-8 works. Whatever the record is,
could
when that blows up.
Could you imagine that, though, if that actually would have worked?
And they would wipe that smile off Tony Romo's
T.O.
face.
T.O. and Moss.
Fred, did you see there were more boobs?
Yeah, he was mesmerized again.
I did.
Not only that, but it was the same ones they showed before.
Now it's repetitive boobs, and he still gets excited.
We should bring up, Tom brought up the game next week, Cowboys and Packers, on
that
the 9% NFL.
Of the, commercial.
9% of the country will see.
Yep. On the NFL Network, and we need to bring that up because the Patriots are going to be in the same boat last week of the season when they play the Giants, only on NFL Network. We did get an email. One person wants to know, will that game be broadcast on any Boston TV station? The answer is yes. It'll be on Channel 5. But if you're outside the Boston area and you're a Patriot fan and you don't have NFL Network, you won't be able to watch the game.
And that's too bad. Like,
what about your little trick thing? That website you like to send people to?
That he doesn't do that anymore, too?
No,
he does. Sopcast or something like that?
I got a couple emails after I mentioned that. The NFL's been cracking down on them, and there's less and less
so
NFL
you,
games.
It was a setup. We thought you were going against the league. You were just reeling them in to set them up to hurt them. Well done. You're a narc, or whatever they call those people.
I was just putting out information. It's probably not just Patriots fans that are going to that site.
But, Fred, we had talked about this upstairs. Regardless of whose side you're on, the cable company, the NFL, it's bad for the league. You don't get to see the biggest game in the NFC, and a lot of people won't get to see the Patriots going for history if they're 15-0. I don't know how that's good for the league.
And I heard yesterday at one point, I think it was Aikman, just sort of openly ripping it.
Yes, he did it, saying most of the country won't
see it. Yeah,
too
bad most of the country won't see it.
But the thing
is, playing the role of Andy Hart.
Like, Andy, you have the decision whether or not you want to get it.
Right.
Like I said, Time Warner Cable, where I grew up, they don't even offer it.
Right.
So, you know, my mother, who's a de facto Cowboy fan for obvious reasons, can't watch the game on Thursday. My father can't watch the Giant-Patriot game. He's a big Giant fan. So they don't even have the choice to pay. And someone emailed in, because I on SPFW, I said, I just pay the $10 and get it if you want it. But someone emailed in and said, for their cable, it's $39.95
I found that
to get the
hard
NFL Network. If that's true, that's craziness.
For the whole year?
Paul's not buying, by the way.
And that's the other thing. They said they couldn't do it for a short period. They had to sign up for a year. I'm not really buying that.
I'm not buying that.
I think they're full of poo.
Well, at any rate, it's a case of two giants, the NFL and the cable companies, playing hardball, and it's not a matter of making money. It's how much money they're going to make.
Right.
No matter what they do, they're going to make money on it, and it's too bad. I think both sides have fault.
The consumer loses in the end.
I agree with you, Fred.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the whole thing with this writer's strike, you know, the TV, you know, I have a hard time rallying behind one millionaire's side over the other. You know,
right.
Have a hard time.
John
with
in L.A. dialing up to tell you why the writers are right, probably.
And those of you who are bored with the show, there's a hell of a college football game going on right now in Nebraska.
They're
and
not
Colorado.
Bored with the show because they're already watching that game from their couch.
No one's bored with the show. No one's listening to
Anthony
the show.
Anthony also want to know, also, if the Patriots get a top three draft pick from San Francisco, would the most ideal pick be a linebacker because of age reasons or a good running back to share the carries of Maroney and maybe even replace him if they get or trade up to get Darren McFadden? Would it even be possible that if Samuel does not return, that the Patriots might draft a cornerback with the first round pick?
All those possibilities those are all possibilities. I was talking with Chris Gasper downstairs, Andy, and he had watched the USC game, and he had asked me, how do you think Mamaluga and Laurinaitis, how would you compare those guys here? And I said, I thought Laurinaitis is a little bit more versatile, where Mamaluga is more of that Ted Johnson, the big guy in the middle.
Maybe that's a negative now in this Patriots defense.
Like,
with Bill looking
Bill
for all these, you know, Jonathan Vilma, John Beeson pass defending linebackers. Maybe, see, that's our new philosophy, our new tunnel vision at looking at the linebackers we got to take to this.
But, like, you guys, I mean, you follow the team longer than I have, and you don't think that they'll take McFadden. So I think if you make a
doesn't
pick,
mean we're right.
No, but I'm just saying, I think if you make a pick at three,
I'm always right.
that's a possibility. And, Fred, I was talking to these guys upstairs. We keep hearing about Maroney's average, 4.7, and I was going to print this out when I forgot. I was looking at Marion Barber, who again had 17 carries for over 100 yards, and I was looking at him over the last 2 years, and all his yards per carry average in the games he gets 10 and 12 carries is like 7.8, 8.2. So when you're only getting 10, 12 carries a game, 4.7 isn't really that great of an average.
That's right. You're right. It's like baseball with your average. It's always got to be a minimum at-bats to really get a good feel for how the guy's doing.
Yeah, but don't you think that, you know, I understand Tom's point. I think Marion Barber's been the more productive guy, so I don't want to get
to I was just talking about the average argument.
But don't you think you can use that both ways? It's like in baseball, to use your analogy, Fred, a lot of guys, you could say, well, the guy's hitting 111. And you could say, well, geez, he's been up 37 times. Or the guy's hitting 612. Well, geez, he's been up 37 times.
But that's what
it's the same thing in football. If he had, you know, maybe one 10-yard run, that makes it a 7.8-yard average.
Well,
but,
that's what I was going to say. I think
if he didn't have any carry, yes.
You can make the argument the other way. Because Maroney hasn't hit a big carry yet.
No, so his average is only 4.7.
But the bottom line is it's not a good sampling yet.
Right.
For either
that's
one.
That I would agree with.
I agree with you guys that you can make the argument both ways, but we've only heard the one-way argument so far. Like the people who defend him, I thought it would be interesting to see how Barber's yards per carry were.
While Barber was there, Brandon Jacobs had like 8 yards a carry or whatever it was. You know, it was ridiculous, but he only ran it a few times a game.
Who?
Brandon Jacobs.
Tiki Barber and Brandon Jacobs.
Oh, Tiki Barber.
You can't just switch Barbers mid-sentence.
Well,
I speak Fred. I have more experience in it, so I knew where he was going.
I was lost.
I think it's going to be an interesting week here because
Diaper Boy.
See how Maroney
has anybody
comes
talked
on.
About that? Fred, you bring that up?
What's that?
Oh God, now you're watching the Spanish channel again.
No, talking about diapers.
Yeah, diapers.
They're running in this game, by the way. Both
you
teams.
Talk about your career at Tufts when you used to poop your pants during the game.
I've never pooped my pants during a game.
I thought you said.
Notice I said during a game. No, Lawrence Maroney had diapers around his locker, and apparently it's an inside joke, but.
Have nothing to do with any
some
team
could take
enforcement.
It as. What?
Nothing, all right. Nothing to do with any kind of team enforcement, right. Evidently.
But it's out there now.
Because that was the first thing I thought of.
Larry Johnson needed the diapers off. Does Lawrence Maroney?
Let's see. Matt in Toronto's on the phone. Matt, what do you think?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I got the situation for you that can change all your NFL Network problems.
Okay.
If you go to channelsurfing.net.
Channelsurfing.net.
You can watch any sporting event live.
Really?
Until the NFL cracks
illegal.
Down.
That doesn't sound legal.
Well, I yesterday at work, I watched the NFL Cowboys game.
Wow.
So I don't know if they're onto that yet.
Okay.
They will be soon.
Yeah, Fred will be making a call.
Channelsurfing.net.
That might be just a Canadian thing, though. I don't know.
Eh?
Well,
isn't it on the internet?
You mean they let you do it in Canada only?
I thought it was called the World Wide Web.
Well, they know where you originate from, and they can tell geographically where you're coming from. But anyway, Matt, while you're on the phone and you're from Toronto, what do you think about getting an NFL team up there, and would you be interested in getting the Bills to move to Toronto?
Well, it'd be good because then I could come always to the Pats game. But I think it'd be great. The only thing, they need a new stadium. Because where I work, the Rogers Center, it holds about 54 for a football game. And that's just way too small for the NFL.
Right.
So are they going to get a new stadium? I mean, if someone's stupid enough to put up the money there.
Well, let's say they did. Let's say someone's willing to build a new stadium up there.
It's going to cost you almost probably $750 million and... It'd be great. I mean, I'd love it. I know all my friends would love it. The economy can support it. It's is there a Canadian? I think it has to be a Canadian or a Canadian company that would want to put up $750 million for a stadium, and then who's going to buy the team, and what's a team going to cost you, $1 billion?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot at work. Hey, speaking of the football at the Rogers Center, I happen to see an old friend, Michael Bishop, lose a playoff game
two weeks ago. I didn't actually watch the game. I had some work to do, but yeah, it was tough. They didn't have a great year. They had a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde year.
Michael Bishop was engineering a Jekyll and Hyde team. I can't believe that.
Well, anyway, so I got something for you.
Okay.
Been looking forever for a Patriots laptop bag, and I got one off the
so
website.
Weak.
And it's a piece of junk.
Really?
Yeah. Off our website?
Flanders is the only useless person here.
You got it off the Patriots Pro Shop website?
Yes, I did.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, you know.
So, Fred, I got a challenge for you.
Okay.
If you could get me a Patriots good laptop bag, I could get you, all four of you guys, your choice of an autographed Blue Jays baseball.
Well, I mean... If you can't get one off the Patriots Pro Shop, I don't know where I would get
we'll
one.
We'll do our best to get you a bag, but you can keep that Blue Jays baseball.
As soon as I figure out who plays on the Blue Jays, I'll let you know.
You got a Rance Mullenix?
No, but I can get any active member.
Oh, not I was thinking Dave Winfield, maybe.
Hey, he did play for Toronto. That's good for you.
He did win a World Series.
That's right.
You want a Gustavo Chassin?
Hey, we got Halladay, Burnett. Paul, I remember we were talking about Burnett.
Yep, I like Burnett.
AJ Ryan, Frank Thomas, Hall of Famer.
Okay.
How about Frank Thomas?
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
All right, well, I'll talk to Flanders. I'll tell him that his current inventory of laptop bags is crap, that he needs to find a new source.
Matt, don't hold out hope. Nothing happens. Take a
no
beach.
Worries. Anyway, so check out that. Gary, did you check out that website?
Channelsurfing.net.
Yeah, Gary's giving it the thumbs up, channelsurfing.net.
For today, until it's shut down.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Fred has now single-handedly shut down two websites on the internet.
Ruining fan experiences. Over Bay Baseball.
While we were
the guy I like? Alex Rios? I like
him. He's a good player.
While we were talking to Matt in Toronto,
you know who
whatever.
Likes him a lot is Frank Cohen.
Eric the Leg has come in, and Eric is fresh from practice. Yep. Eric, tell us what's going on out there.
Big news was the return of Jarvis Green, which made for absolutely perfect attendance for the first time, and I can't remember.
Everyone gets a cookie.
That's
good.
Right.
Yep. What else is going
on? Where's that food?
Speaking of cookies.
Anything else?
They were inside Gillette Stadium on the playing field today, uppers only. It's chilly outside, so there's a lot of guys with like head warmers and long clothing and stuff. But, not a lot. They let us out there a little bit late, and all we got to really see was stretching and one drill. So
guys fooling around with each other with the loose?
Very loose. The stretching part, actually, some of the media contingent out there, we were commenting to each other. It's like, hey, there's not a lot of stretching going on here, and it's pretty cold out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, like,
so keep an eye out for pulled muscles, guys added to the injury report after practice because they didn't take stretching seriously. Heard it here first, Patriots.com.
So everybody was there, just
everyone
uppers?
Was there, just
no,
uppers.
No full pads?
No.
Okay.
No, worked a little bit on the kickoff and kickoff return teams.
Okay.
That's pretty much what we saw today. So
any Troy Brown? How's
Troy
he
Brown
looking?
Was there.
How's he looking?
I mean, well, we didn't really see him do anything.
Looks
today.
Like Troy. He's not 6'2" or anything.
Right. There you go.
Apparently he wasn't stretching.
Apparently he like nobody else was stretching.
But no, I mean he's been taking part in all the receiver drills that we've seen the last couple of weeks. So a decision is looming in the next few days.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the report from practice, Gary. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything. Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CMS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The PFW guys had a special guest book. Too bad he couldn't make it.
It's so strange that the commissioner didn't show up.
Always on the ball, the leg thought he knew why.
Maybe he's thinking of a new shape for the football.
All right, back here at PFW in progress. There. Eric's here. Andy, Paul, Tom.
There's no food out there. I went
Gary.
And wow.
Jacques in Dallas writes in. We're talking about the NFL Network. He's telling us that down here in Dallas, even Uncle Jerry is unhappy that not all the Cowboy fans across the country will be able to see the Packer-Cowboy game. If Uncle Jerry makes this a cause and other owners start to complain, the league will need to act. See, Jacques, that's where you're a little off here. It is a cause among the owners, but they can't do anything about it unless the cable companies. Jerry Jones is now the new head of the broadcast committee.
Unless the cable companies what?
Unless the cable companies want to play ball with the league.
Not so sure. I mean, I don't know the facts of this, but as it was represented in Paul Domowicz's column in our paper a couple weeks ago, it seems like the NFL's in the wrong here. If they want everybody to get it, they can make the decision to have everybody get it.
Oh, absolutely. They could just say, we won't.
Well, if Jerry Jones is honest and he wants Cowboys fans to be able to see the game, and he starts bitching and moaning about it, and that's
but
truly what he
wants. But he's not bitching and moaning to the league. He's now the front man
in
the
that's
crusade.
A different argument. Yeah. But if he's bitching and moaning, he can make it happen.
Right. Because I think that the way the league is trying to portray it is that the big bad cable companies aren't really doing right by the fan. And I don't really think that's an accurate portrayal of what's going on.
The problem is the big bad cable companies don't want to give the NFL what they want for the service. And that's the bottom line. Jerry Jones just...
But they jacked it up
significantly.
Was 80 cents. They want 80 cents a subscriber.
But when they first got the station for the first 2 years, it was much lower than that. And then when they started, they went from year one to year two of the games, all of a sudden they threw it through the roof. And I don't think that's right.
And the cable companies are complaining because they're saying, you know, CNN, it's only 42 cents.
Well, I believe the only one over a dollar is ESPN, which I believe is a dollar.
Right, and that's what the league is saying. They're saying, but sports is different.
Well,
sports
ESPN was able to.
No, they're saying we're different.
No, but
we're the NFL.
ESPN was able to strong arm them because they had been around for 20 years, and they said, if you want to put together a cable package without ESPN, go ahead and try it.
Right.
And so NFL Network is newer, and the cable companies are saying, I don't think everybody needs this.
That's why I think the NFL should have done a thing where they prove themselves first, you know, go in at a lower price and work out a deal where, you know, after 5 or 6 years, you know, then they can ask for more money. I think they asked for a little bit more, a little bit too much too soon.
Right, and that's why I don't necessarily – look, it's the same thing. We're arguing – you have to take a side here on two multi-billion-dollar corporations that are trying to squeeze every last penny that they can, and I don't really find much to root for on either side. But I, like I said, I think that the difference is the cable company isn't trying to portray themselves as, oh, woe is me, whereas the NFL seems to be – Well, they're depriving our fans of the shit. And well, the cable companies aren't depriving anybody of anything.
Well, the cable companies are saying, well, if we pay that, then we'll have to, then, you know, we want to protect our customers. If they wanted to protect their customers, there's a lot of things they could have done way before the NFL Network ever came into
being. And that's why I'm not saying that the cable companies are doing great. Right. They're looking out. They're trying to squeeze every last buck.
No, both being disingenuous.
But the NFL is trying to paint it out that the cable companies are depriving the fans of being able to listen to watch the games, and I don't think that's the way it's going on.
Let's see. Jacques also says, by the way, did anyone see that Romo threw a TD to T.O. with only 7 minutes left in the game?
Yes, that was running it up.
Happy, but was that running up the score?
Yes.
Also, Nate Newton agrees with Brady. You want to intimidate your opponents by scoring as much as you can.
You want me to give you my story, Fred?
You got to put your mic on, Tom.
You want me to give you my story?
Yes.
I was watching the game, you know, and the Cowboys had completely shut it down. They were running the ball up their gut. And I said to Allison, I said, see, here's the difference between what the Patriots do and what some teams do. They're just shutting it down here. They're not trying to score. I didn't get that out of my mouth before they threw the touchdown pass to T.O. And then I said, now I don't have an argument. That's exactly what the Patriots do. So, yes, they were running up the score. They were trying to keep T.O. happy. So he was involved in the game. Same thing that the Patriots did to Moss against Buffalo. Same exact thing.
Steve in Cranston, Rhode Island, I think you guys are looking way too far in advance. We have not won anything yet, and I think the Pats will win out if there are no injuries. But I can also see a player taking a cheap shot at Brady. As for the Moss debate, he will ask for more money, and I seriously doubt that he will stay here for less money, especially if we do win the Super Bowl. Moss wants a title. After that, he can care less about anyone. But I'm loving it for this season. So, see, I disagree. I think he genuinely likes Belichick, or at least respects him. I think he genuinely likes Tom Brady. And, I'm buying it, okay? So call me a sucker, but I'm buying it.
Me too, Fred. I'm buying
it. I'm buying too, and that's why I said make sure you hold me to it. But, one of those little things that annoys me is this whole notion that you can't talk about the Patriots going to the Super Bowl because that suddenly affects something. You know, we all think the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl. Why does it make us bad? Why are we getting ahead of ourselves? And then in the same breath, the guy says, I think they're going to run the table too. But, well, you think it, so why shouldn't you say it?
He did say it.
Do people have this notion that what you think or say affects some the outcome?
Some people are very superstitious that way. It's crazy, but that's what they think.
I'm as superstitious as anybody.
Never once did I think,
if I think my team's going to win, they're going to lose.
Well, but
why would you think that?
Because some people take things to the extreme. Why do people decorate their walls and houses and cubicles with all kinds of, fan memorabilia?
Look, if you wanted to say someone thinks that they put the same sweatshirt on at the same time before the game every week and that helps them win, that makes more sense than saying, if I think they're going to win, they won't win.
Well, people think they're going to jinx things.
It's just foolishness.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's how some people think.
You know, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but yet they think the same thing that we do.
How does that make any sense?
It doesn't matter if we do it. Right. Well, it matters if they do it because they could get caught.
Right.
Looking ahead.
Well, you can't win because if you say the Patriots, you think the Patriots are going to win, the fans say you shouldn't look ahead. If you say you don't, then you're not giving them respect. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That's the role I've been trying to play for years. When I said they were going to lose, I was Mr. Negativity. When I said that they were going to go undefeated, I was Homer, bandwagon, crazy.
Well, you're just crazy. Yemi from Texas, happy Thanksgiving.
No one ever called you a Homer.
I read in the Boston Globe that some players put diapers in Lawrence Maroney's locker, mocking him for how the coaches treat him. What do you guys make of this? Can it cause friction between him and his teammates?
You read that in the Globe?
That's what he said. It was in the Globe.
Oh, it was?
Chris Gasper, yeah. Yeah. I also read that the Cowboys have 2 first-round picks in the 2008 draft. Is this true? After trading their own first-round pick to Cleveland, the Cowboys traded back into the first round and selected Anthony Spencer, the outside linebacker from Purdue. They must have given up their 2008 first-round pick. Can you give us the right information? Of course, Tom will have that.
What are you talking about? I stopped listening.
The Cowboys' draft status for 2008.
They have 2 first-round picks.
How did they get those picks?
The Eagles. They traded back into the first round with the Eagles after I complained. Remember that they should draft Anthony Spencer?
This guy isn't sure of how they got it, so he wants
they have the Eagles' first-round pick, which should be, in the middle, and then theirs will be towards the bottom. But The person I talked to said that's not why the diapers were there.
Right.
So, and he did a pretty good, I mean, the person I talked to was calling around quite a bit to find out the meaning of it. And he had planned on writing what you saw in the Globe, and then told me that he didn't write it because he had talked to some people who would know for sure. That was how he described it, and said they weren't there to say take the diapers off. They were there for an inside joke on Lawrence Maroney, and it was a mistimed joke that people took differently.
So there's a little bit of
I think maybe
misinformation
I think maybe some people saw it and jumped to that conclusion, and maybe, and I don't know if the guy I'm talking to is right either, but
yeah.
I know he did talk to some people.
Alex says, today I went to SI.com to get some good NFL news, but I had to discover that Coach Belichick was one of the 07 turkeys of the year. Okay, he cheated, but he also showed what he can do on the field with his team. If he and the Patriots go undefeated, he'll get Coach of the Year, and he'll be called the best coach ever. But to call him now a turkey with Barry Bonds and Nick Saban, isn't right. So I agree. Hear, hear.
So
why? How about Nick Saban comparing a loss at Alabama to 9/11?
No. He wasn't comparing it.
Terrible.
That's what his PR guy said.
Terrible. Yeah. But just to play along with you, Fred, why?
What?
Why?
Because I obviously don't think that Bill Belichick thinks he was cheating. I still stand okay. by that.
All right.
You know, one thing I know about Bill Belichick, he's not an idiot.
I just want to check on something.
I know that as
don't
well.
Don't we watch a movie about once a year on the bus called Shawshank Redemption? And in the movie, when the guys first get to prison, isn't it, he didn't do it. No one in here committed the crime they were accused of. So Bill Belichick is now lumped in with those convicts, Fred, and it's okay that he doesn't think he committed it? It means he didn't really commit it?
You're lumping him in with a convict?
I'm saying everybody who breaks the rules, for the most part, thinks they didn't break the rules. And that's what he went with.
So you're calling him an idiot?
No. So, I said all along that I didn't think he was an idiot.
Why is he an idiot? Because he broke a rule.
He's that stupid that he would put a guy with Patriots gear on the sideline.
We've all said we have no idea why he did it, but
right.
he broke the rules.
So don't.
He broke the rules. I don't know why anybody else does anything when they break the rules.
You're
the
one jumping to conclusions, Fred. You're saying that if he did it and he knew he was doing it,
you're
that makes him an idiot.
Bill, we trust.
I'm saying
that he
had.
Why does that make him an idiot?
I'm saying that he had a different interpretation of the rule.
It doesn't matter what his interpretation is.
But
that is irrelevant.
But let's just say for argument's sake,
the rule is the rule.
But what I'm saying is that doesn't make him a bad guy.
No,
and well, everyone else,
no one said
no
that.
That's
that.
What this SI said. He's turkey of the year.
He's one of the turkeys because he cheated. That's all.
You can't defend him. He cheated.
But he's a great coach. But I don't understand why.
I'm defending him.
Okay, let me rephrase.
That's fine. You can defend him.
I'm defending Nick Saban. I don't think he meant it that way, and he's not a bad guy.
Okay, you have a right to do that.
Of course he does, because that suits your argument
right
now. But
10 minutes ago, you would have said you're an idiot.
What I don't understand
is I don't argue like you do.
What I don't understand, Fred,
is you do. That's why you swear and you two go at it. You call each other liars, and
I've never called a liar in my life.
No, you just change your story in the middle. Well, why?
That's true too.
Why is it that if he did this, it makes him an idiot? Like you're saying, I don't believe.
Right.
So you believe he's an idiot? Because I mean, I think he cheated, but I think he got caught. And what are you going to do? You get on, you go on with it, you move on.
I think that if he knew without a doubt that what he was doing was cheating, and he did it, he would have been an idiot.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not calling him an idiot. I think he did exactly. He knew exactly what he was doing.
I do too.
He had a tangible benefit for it, reasons of which we'll probably never know.
He'd been slapped on the wrist before when they got caught.
Exactly.
He didn't think he was going
to. I think he
was
just.
Issue.
He was bold enough to think that they would never hold his feet to the fire on it, and I think that it blew up on him. Big deal. He's going to get the last laugh because they're going to go undefeated. They're going to win another Super Bowl, and he already is considered by many to be the greatest coach, not just now but of all time. And I certainly would make an argument, a very strong argument on his behalf. But, I mean, to sit here and say that he didn't know what he was doing, I don't know.
Well, Andy, other people use the blue cheese, too. Well, I just haven't had a chance to eat any yet because I'm trying to actually do the show.
Yeah, you are.
I didn't know Icky Woods' first name was Elbert. E-L-B-E-R-T.
Let's
now
see.
We know why he went with Icky.
Anthony, I was listening to the show yesterday. I couldn't help you hear you guys talking about Tim Tebow and that he has never played in a pro-style system. Well, I have always been a Patriot fan all my life, even though I live in Jacksonville, and I went to the same high school as Tim Tebow. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you guys that I don't think it matters what system you put Tim Tebow in, because I've seen him do almost everything on the field, from quick passes to throwing the ball 40 or 50 yards for the touchdown. Now he's even running for touchdowns in college.
The bottom line is he hasn't been in a pro offense.
Right.
The thing that I like most about him is he reminds me of Tom Brady because he always gets the ball to the guy that's open and will do whatever it takes to get a touchdown. He has carried the Gators on his shoulders, and I really think he deserves to win the Heisman this year.
They can't argue with anything he said, but the point still is,
except maybe
how do you evaluate him in the NFL?
Right.
You know, he's not in a he's in a different kind of system.
And there may be scouts that say, I've seen enough. He can do anything
exactly.
We ask him to do in any system.
But it's a little harder to evaluate him than it would be a Peyton Manning or a pure drop-back passer. A lot of Tebow's, a lot of that success is him running up the middle. You know, that opens up other things, guys getting behind it. You're not going to do that in the NFL,
right.
I don't think.
Well, you asked Bill about that the other day.
Although Vince Young does it. Well, we've seen it with Vince Young. Does it twice a game.
You know, we have to get to the picks.
Yep.
So why don't we, Gary?
Stunned for a minute there.
No, I just looked at the clock. We did the Thursday games on Wednesday, but we left the rest of the games for today. So let's take a break, and when we get back, we'll get to those NFL picks.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah. All right, back here in PFW in progress. It's Friday, so that means it's time to go around the
Britain.
NFL with our picks. And, Paul, before we do, why don't you tell us how we did last week? Or
we did that already.
Did that. How we did on Thursday.
It's not the end of the week. Who cares how we did on Thursday?
Well,
I'll just do real quick. I'll tell you that Fred, Paul, and Andy, and Tom all went 3-0 on the picks. Eric went 2-1. With the number, Andy went 3-0 as well, and everybody else went 2-1.
I'm the smartest
man.
Sorry, Cartman.
Oh, go again.
All right. So now we're dealing with Sunday and Monday night's game.
Okay.
So
let's get right to it, Fred.
Let's get right
Ready,
to it.
Go.
Maybe we'll get to some more emails. afterwards.
Denver at Chicago, Andy Hart.
Denver.
Bears by 1.5.
I'll take Denver on the road, AFC, NFC. I haven't given up on my Broncos, even if I said I gave up last week.
I'll take the Broncos and the money line here. I think Denver goes on the road and wins the game rather easily. I see two teams going in different directions here, and it's my AFC-NFC matchup, like the Broncos.
Denver is a Jekyll and Hyde team. Last week they were Jekyll. This week they're Hyde. The Bears are going to win.
Bears are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So Hyde's the bad one in that relationship?
Yeah.
Jekyll,
yeah.
Dr. Jekyll.
I had to wait until he was done.
Sure, whatever.
You're going to have to explain it. I'm an idiot.
I'm going to go with Denver as well. I don't necessarily share the enthusiasm of the rest of the panel in terms of the Broncos heading in the right direction, but I think the Bears stink. So I'm going to take the AFC team against the bad NFC team.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a gut pick. I'm going to go with the Bears winning this game.
Good pick.
I don't think that Denver will sustain what they did last week into Chicago.
I might feel different if I actually watched that Monday night game, though, against Tennessee. But you guys kept telling me that Tennessee kept dropping passes everywhere, and that's why the Titans lost.
Well, and I thought they played good against Green Bay when I saw them. You know, they were in that game. I just think maybe they're starting to turn the corner. We'll see this week. This is a game, if you're going to turn the corner, you should win.
All right, moving along. We have Tennessee at Cincinnati, Andy, with the home Bengals getting 1.5.
I'll take the Tennessee Titans. Because with that Bengals defense, I'm saying Vinsanity continues to throw the ball with success. Now that another one of my favorite college players, Mike Williams, has joined the Titans, turn his career around there in Tennessee, be the weapon that Vince Young needs to. A need-need relationship there gets it done. He needs to revitalize his career. Vince Young needs him. They put up big points.
Is Haynesworth playing?
I don't know.
I was going to take the Titans big here, but since you told me they signed Mike Williams, now I'm just going to take them to win. I don't know if the Bengals will win another game all year. This is a big game for Tennessee. They need this to stay in the playoff hunt, so I think they win it on the road.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick the Titans. I don't think they're that great a team as much as I did earlier in the season, but the Bengals are really that bad a team, so I'm going to go with the Titans both ways.
Yeah, well, I'm going to reluctantly take Tennessee here because I don't know what the deal is with Haynesworth. I've gotten burnt the last 2 weeks thinking he was playing. And there's an enormous difference when he's in and out of the lineup. And evidently that defense isn't nearly as good as I thought it was. It's basically the product of one guy having a great year because there's been no comparison. I'll take Tennessee, but I'm not feeling real good about it.
Yeah, I'm with Paul. I'm reluctantly taking Tennessee. I've been burned by them as well. I thought they were better than Jacksonville this year, but it doesn't seem that way.
No.
But I'll stick with the Titans for another week.
All right, Andy, speaking of Jacksonville, the Buffalo Bills, fresh off a 56-10 pasting, will go to the Alltel Stadium or whatever they're calling it nowadays, face the Jaguars with the Jags giving 8.
I will take the Jags to win and cover. I'd like to take the Bills there with the points, but I just don't feel great about them. They've fought tough against some bad teams, walked all over last week. I don't think they can keep it up.
Yeah, if I was still gambling, this has 1,500 written all over it.
Dollars?
Jacksonville, wow. All over the Bills this week. Like you said, Andy, they were fighting tough. You know, I think the shine's kind of off what happened last week. They played a good team. I think you only got so much. You know what I mean? You only got so much fight. You go on the road to a Jacksonville team that's playing well at home. I think they get after Losman. You can't run the football on them. All Jacksonville in this game.
I know it won't make much of a difference, but do we know if Edwards is going to...
It's Losman.
It is Losman? Yeah. Boy, they really want to go down with that ship, don't they? I'm going to go with the Jaguars both ways. I think you guys are right. The Bills looked like they were trying to put something together, and I think they got totally demoralized last week.
What's the number here?
Eight.
I'm going to take Jacksonville as well. I don't like Jacksonville as a big favorite team, but...
8.
The Bills are what I thought they were, and that's not a very good football team.
Yeah, I guess I'll go with Jacksonville both ways. I was going to take the Bills to cover, but, yeah.
Only thing I'll say about this game, it seems like Vegas is trying to get money because the line is a little interesting to me. I thought it would be higher, especially after the Bills got destroyed on national TV.
That's true. You know, that last...
I thought it'd be 10 or 11.
The last thing in your mind, you know, you never know. But anyway, Oakland at Kansas City, Andy. One of those great games. I'm surprised this isn't like the Sunday night game. This is one of those games they try to tell us that we're supposed to like. Kansas City is favored by 5.5.
I'll take the Raiders and the points. I just I don't like either team. Kansas City, I have no confidence picking them. I don't care where it is. So maybe the Raiders steal one here. I think if I win this, it's by like a defensive touchdown or some punt return score, something stupid. It's a bad game, and I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Andy here. The Raiders haven't been great this season, but they've kind of been in games. I have a feeling the bottom's about to fall out in Kansas City, because I don't care what you tell me. I don't think Brody Croyle's an NFL quarterback here. And I agree with you. We'd probably get a defensive score or something, but you're looking at a low-scoring game. I'm going to take the Raiders here in a little bit of an upset.
I'm going to take the Chiefs to win this game outright, just because I think Herm Edwards has that end-of-season sneaking into the playoffs thing that he always does, and they're at home. But I'm going to take Oakland to cover. I think they'll put up just enough of a fight. It might come down to a field goal, and that's going to be the difference.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kansas City. I think they're two bad teams. I'll just go with the home team to win. I'll take them to cover as well.
I'm going to go with Eric. I'm going to have the Chiefs winning the game, but Oakland covering. By the way, the Chiefs are also involved in a night game, last game of the season. Doesn't NBC have the Chiefs and Jets, I think?
They can't flex that out of there as soon as possible.
They could change it, but but that's awful.
They better change it. If that game's not changed, I'll kill myself.
Yeah. All right. Next.
I'm not going to be watching it anyway. So, right, let's see. Well, nothing
going.
No, I'm just saying the night games. I haven't really watched a game all year.
Why not?
He's got to get to bed
because they're late. I'm sorry. Houston is at Cleveland. I love when Fred gets mad at me. Houston at Cleveland, Andy. The Browns by 3.5 off their miracle win last week.
I'll take the Browns to take advantage of their miracle win and keep rolling. That's all I got.
Okay.
This is probably the toughest game to pick this week, I think, so I'm going to try to do my split thing. I'm going to take the Browns to win. I'm going to take the Texans to cover. I wouldn't be surprised if Houston wins this game, but I don't know. I got nothing. I want to tell you.
I just like the fight that Cleveland has been showing, so I'm going to take them to win outright and cover.
And when you have officials, you know, making things up as they go along to help you out.
They did not check the review, Andy.
No.
Ask Baghdad Bob.
No question. He didn't.
Although,
look in there.
I have to say,
watching porn underneath that.
Did you see Pereira this week? He admitted two mistakes.
Did they really? Yeah. I didn't watch
in
it
that
this
game.
Week. That figures. The one week I don't see it.
Yep, he admitted two mistakes.
What was the mistakes?
Let's see.
Because usually they're very inconsequential.
The play was, on the review, what he said is the refs should have kept reviewing the play. There were two. It's hard.
Never
it's
mind.
It's hard to describe.
But that's what I thought. Not to you, but to
right.
Pereira.
No, I know what you're saying.
That's the kind of thing that you can't even describe it afterwards when they admit their mistake.
So there were two junctures in the same play where there was questionable whether the player was down. And what he said is the refs made the mistake of only reviewing the first part of the play and making a ruling of that.
So they didn't make a mistake.
Right.
That's not really a mistake.
Instead of continuing and seeing the play to its conclusion, because if they had, they would have seen that the player had been down in the second one, which would have made the whole thing moot. So the refs, he did admit it, though. It was a mistake that the refs didn't do it right. So.
I'm going to take Cleveland. The one thing I agree with Tom. This is one of those toss-up games. One thing you kind of lose track of. Houston had the little, I don't know. They had some momentum at the start of the season. I didn't realize, and I forgot that Andre Johnson was out all that time.
Yeah,
and they've been back more resembling the Houston team that started the year since
and
he's Shaw returned.
Is healthy again.
Yeah. So I mean, I definitely see a scenario where Houston gives Cleveland all sorts of trouble, especially with that terrible Browns defense and secondary. They really struggle, but I think Romeo's going to keep it going for another week here and find a way at home to get a win.
What's the number?
3.5.
Yeah, I'll probably. Well, Cleveland had the tough game last week coming off that Ravens game.
Probably.
I was going to split it down the middle here. 3.5 isn't a lot, so I'll go with Cleveland both ways.
Okay.
I'll probably. Well,
what's your record?
Oh,
look at the scoreboard, big head.
Wow.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
He's got a 7-game lead over you.
Oh, by the way, I'd be competitive anywhere else. I looked in the globe when they do their little picks and everything. I would be very competitive everywhere else.
Yeah,
you guys are doing a fine job.
We were talking about that
the
other day.
Thanks, Andy.
Well, they spend days, you know. You got Eric here; he's got his
spreadsheets. He's like the guys in Vegas setting a line, flat panels all over the place.
He's got papers scattered all over the place.
Hey, I'm in first place. It's
yeah, you
the
are.
Job.
You're getting the job done.
That's funny. All right, Andy. One of those great NFC West matchups. The Seattle Seahawks travel to St. Louis, where the Rams are a home dog, getting 3.
I'll take Seattle because I think they're the better football team.
You don't get that kind of analysis just anywhere.
It is what it is, Paul.
I agree.
I was looking up college football scores.
Take Seattle because they're the better football team.
What is
Seattle
it?
At St. Louis.
Oh, I like Seattle. I don't care what the number is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
28. For you.
47.
Well, Fred didn't want me to have the 18 last week. Remember I said I was thinking about taking the Bills. And Fred, no, we're playing for a
yeah,
dinner
right.
here. I wouldn't have won that game if you gave me 38.
Yeah. Rams, preseason, we thought they were going to be pretty good, compete for a playoff spot, maybe even the division, but they are awful. So Seahawks both ways.
Yeah, I'll take Seattle too, although I will say the Rams tend to bring out the worst in Seattle. I don't know why that is, but
that's true.
I just think
it's like Buffalo Wings and me.
Oh, that could be.
Oh. I think Sean Alexander's out again, but what's happened
to him? Who cares?
He
stinks.
Yeah,
he's been passed by even when healthy, really,
yeah.
to be honest with you.
He stinks. I'll go with Seattle both ways.
All right. We're moving right along, Freddie. Minnesota.
Good. Yes.
At the Meadowlands against the Giants. Giants favored by 7.
Oh, I will take the Giants to win and cover. Better all-around football team. Pass rush. Again, who's playing quarterback for the Vikings these days?
Yeah, but they lost. They lost one of their pass rushers.
Yeah, I know. Kiwanuka.
Ardell Kiwanuka.
Yeah, I'd rather lose Kiwanuka than
yeah.
So I think they'll be fine. I think the Giants are a decent second tier team with a decent balance. I think they can throw the ball a little bit, not great. I think they can run it a little bit, not great, and play defense. So I'll take them against a team that
can't do any of those things. Decent.
Yeah. Well, you can stop the run, right?
They stop the run and they run the ball.
The last time this game was played here, the Vikings set the NFL record by scoring all their touchdowns non-offensively. Remember, they had the kickoff return, they had the punt return, they had the interception return, and the Giants totally dominated the game. I think they'll need a similar type of game to win this because they're just not good enough to outscore the Giants, who Manning should have a big day against that secondary. I'll take the Giants.
Yeah, he should, but I just kind of foresee the end-of-season Tom Coughlin spiral out of control for the Giants again. So I'm going to take the Giants to win, but I'm going to have Minnesota with the number.
Yeah, not me. I like the Giants big in this one. Minnesota's not a very good football team, and I think the Giants showed me something bouncing back after that Dallas game at home. That I'm sure it was an emotional game for them. They didn't play well. They went on the road at Detroit in an important game for both sides, and they really thoroughly dominated the Lions. So I think that this will be a little bit different for the Coughlin late season swoon thing, and I'll take the Giants to roll.
Me too. Giants both ways in this game.
All right. Where are we now? New Orleans Saints, Andrew Hart, at Carolina, where the Panthers are getting 3 at home.
Wow. Interesting. I'll take the Saints to win, even though Reggie Bush stinks. I'm off that bandwagon. The more I watch him, the more I look at his numbers. He just doesn't. They were going to find out all these creative ways to use him. How about just to get positive yards? Let's go back to the basics and get the guy some positive yards.
See the drop he had last week coming across the middle?
Yeah, he across the end zone there. Yeah, stinks. And that said, in Carolina's going down a slippery slope of blow it up and get rid of the coach, you need a quarterback, you need a heck of a lot there, you know. Another guy we like, D'Angelo Williams, stinks. Apparently those guys that are playmakers and undersized, yeah, they just stink. There's nothing to them.
I'm glad to see you're finally admitting that you were wrong about some of these guys, Andy. Paul, unless it says Carolina and Atlanta, I always want you to put me down for the team playing Carolina because I don't think they have a chance to win another football game all season. I'll take the Saints.
There are a lot of teams like that. You're right. Carolina is one of them. Saints have been one of those Jekyll and Hyde teams, too, but I think
this week they're Jekyll.
Yes, very good, Andy.
If you know what you're talking about.
Why not heckle?
Whatever.
Sorry.
So, Saints both ways.
Yeah, I'll bet it. I'm going to take the Saints both sides, too, but I'll bet anything that if I went back and computed my record for every team, I'll bet you my record picking the Saints is the worst. I've keep waiting for them.
Now they have
a couple of wins. Now they'll get a couple.
You just don't know who they are this year.
They're just not good.
But I'll go with the Saints as well.
I can't pick a team that has Vinny Testaverde playing.
I can't believe there's a team that's
with
Andy.
I think for the benefit of the NFL, Roger Goodell should force the Saints to trade Reggie Bush and get him on another team.
Why? He stinks.
He doesn't stink. He's got a lot of talent.
What does that have to do with
the
Saints?
He needs a fresh start.
Guys have a lot of talent.
He's been in the league for a year and a half. Why does he need a fresh start?
He needs to get out of there.
You want him to come here?
Let me guess. The Patriots.
You want him to come
Kevin
here?
Kevin Fox
you?
A little thing up. The NFC says Reggie Bush. They should trade for him.
Didn't they go to the NFC Championship game?
He's crazy like a fox. So now I get it.
He wants him to be the next Kevin Fox.
I'm not going
to
buy into this. Go ahead, Paul.
You don't think? I think Reggie. I still
agree with you. I think you're right.
I still think Reggie Bush is pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
No, I think he has some. Look, I don't think he's a stiff.
Paul just can't let it go.
I don't understand.
Fred, you lion sacker.
Bush has stuff that you just simply cannot teach. It's good to see Andy's finally admitted that he's wrong.
I always admit when I'm wrong. It just doesn't happen often.
Or right
what,
away.
Admitting when you're wrong?
It's touchdowns.
Colorado's the worst team I've ever seen.
Welcome to CBS Sports, where we watch games and then tell you what happened.
Well, they can do it on the network. Why can't we do it on
PSW? That's what I just said. Why I said welcome to CBS Sports.
Oh, all right.
What's he babbling about over
there? I was thinking the game was on CBS. Welcome to CBS Sports. I don't know what channel the game
was
on.
Never pick up on it.
Sorry. Washington's at Tampa. The Bucs are favored by 3. Almighty, all-knowing, last place, Andy Hart.
I'll take the Bucs.
I'll take the Bucs. I mean, this is one of those games where it's going to be 17-13 one way or the other.
1-0
Bruins. I guess I'll take Tampa Bay at home.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bucs, too, both ways.
Interesting.
That's a good point, Eric.
Interesting.
Yeah, I like the Bucs. That's another team that I'm probably 2-8 picking this year, but what's 2-9? What's the difference? I'll take the Bucs.
I'm going to go against the trend. I'm going to go with Washington in this game.
Why?
I don't know. I think they're both pretty equal teams. I think right now Washington's playing decent ball, and I think the Bucs have been up and down. I don't know. I just
got feeling.
Yeah,
he just likes Washington.
I just like Washington.
Tom,
is that another one of the teams
you rooted for them at one point in your career?
Is it okay if I comment on that, or should I just let it go?
You lived in D.C. for a while, like Washington.
I'll take your advice either way.
Just let it go.
You got a Redskins.
I'll wait till after the show where I point out the fact that Washington's lost 3 in a row and Tampa's won. Okay. Anyway, San Francisco is at Arizona, where the Cardinals are a big 10.5-point favorite.
You got to be kidding me.
How much?
10.5. Wow, what's the number in Bodog?
No, I can't believe that it's that
much. I know.
I'll take Arizona to win, but I'll take the points. I like big numbers, especially with bad teams involved. Now, I don't know how Tom's rule of trying would imply here, because I don't know how much talent either team has, and I don't know who's trying more. That's why I'll take the points.
Well, certainly Arizona should be trying more.
Which one's
Jekyll
and which one's Hyde?
I'm going to go with Jekyll as Arizona, but not so Hyde-y as San Francisco.
Good move.
It depends. If you think Hyde is the guy that comes out and just destroys people, Hyde could be good.
Touche.
Yeah, depends.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Patriots are Hyde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did Arizona do last week? Who'd they play?
They beat Cincinnati in that shootout.
Cincinnati, that doesn't matter. I'm taking Arizona to win the game. I'm going to stick with my rule. I'll take San Fran to cover 10.5.
I'm going to agree. Awful, awful game. But I'll take the Cards to win. Niners to cover.
I'm going to take the Cards both sides. Trent Dilfer playing quarterback for the Niners. Enough said there. I think the Cardinals are fighting for a playoff spot. The NFC is terrible. They're in the mix with everybody else. They'll be 6-5 after this win.
Yep.
I will split it down the middle. I'll take the Cards to win, San Francisco to cover.
Good job, Fred.
Okay, Baltimore is at San Diego in a battle of underachieving stiff teams with the Chargers by 9.
I'll take the Chargers to win and cover. I'll go with their talent. I think they have a little more of it, and they'll score. And I just don't. I know the Ravens put up whatever the hell they put up last week with the NFL, making sure they put up whatever they put up. Or no, screwing them, whatever it was. I'll take the Chargers.
Yeah, I'll go with the Chargers, too.
Yeah, this is one of those weeks. You know, San Diego has not won games they should have won. They've blown out teams they didn't think they were going to have any chance against. This is one of those weeks I think San Diego's going to win big.
By the way, Baltimore blow it up with my Carolina thing. Brian Billick and John Fox both be available.
Well, I think the Billick thing is definitely going to happen. I agree. San Diego, I'm going to take in this game. not feeling real good about it, so I'll take the points with Baltimore just because I think both teams stink, and I can't lay 9 points when I don't think either team
is
playing very well.
See, the thing is, I would do the same, Paul, but I just don't think Baltimore can score points. So, I mean, San Diego could.
They might not need to.
Well, they may not, but San Diego scored 20 points and still cover. So I'm going to go with San Diego both ways.
Okay, that leaves us a couple of monster spreads to finish it out here, Andy. Miami at Pittsburgh. Where the Steelers are favored by 16.
Is Ricky Williams playing?
I will take the Steelers to win. Now, this is one that worries me because I do think they sometimes play down to their opposition. You can't get much lower than the winless Dolphins. I'll take them
but
to cover.
But they play well at home.
I'll take them to cover. They're at home. They explode, get a couple big touchdowns, big play-type touchdowns, and that's enough for them to cover, although I do have the fear of them playing down to their opponent.
Who are you taking to cover?
Steelers.
I'm going to take the Steelers to win. I'm going to take the Dolphins to cover. Unless you're the Colts or the Patriots, I'm not laying over two touchdowns, really, in the NFL. Plus, they got a couple injuries there in Pittsburgh. I think they're going to play a little conservative here, run the football defensively. I can see this being a low-scoring game, kind of, and if it is, 16 points is a lot. What the heck?
Yeah, I'm very torn about this game, too. Not that Pittsburgh isn't going to win, which they will. I'm just worried about this number, too. But I'll go with the Steelers to cover.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers to cover, too. I think the worst thing that could have happened for Miami is the Jets beating Pittsburgh last week. They have the full attention right now, and I don't think they let it happen again at home. I think they roll. They get up early, and it's one of those 34-7 kind of games.
Yeah, I got to go with the Steelers here. I think in that locker room, they're saying, we got to get it going. We got to start playing our best ball coming up this month.
So Mike Tomlin needs to start earning his paycheck.
Yeah, they're going to start
time when the head coach.
I just have a feeling that we're going to find out, since they're playing the Patriots in a couple of weeks, they're going to be playing their worst ball of the season.
Well, but they want to get some momentum going into that. So I'll have them winning and covering in this game.
I already placed a bet that either Parker or Roethlisberger goes down with a major injury at some point.
Well, Holmes and Polamalu are out. So
now, where was I reading that Tomlin's kind of letting these guys do a little bit too much talking? There's a lot of yap
pro football talk.
That's where you read everything.
I get all the clips, the national clips. I read it all.
Then you throw them at Tom.
Right. Tom says, I don't want them.
It's touchdown.
This is the best game I've ever seen.
Colorado.
28-24. There's still a minute and a half left in the first half. Philadelphia is at the Patriots, Andy. Patriots 22.
Wow. Not enough wow, though. I'll take the Patriots. I'll take them to cover. I'm hoping that I'm wrong here because I'm looking for Bill Belichick to come out, take the diapers off Lawrence Maroney, establish the run, and win this game 6-0 because I have a fantasy matchup with our webmaster, the overmatched Chris Ferreira, who lucked into Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and Dante Stallworth on his fantasy team.
Lucked into or stupidly picked?
We didn't pick
no,
the
literally
teams.
Lucked into. The computer picked Randy Moss, Tom Brady, and Dante Stallworth for him, and he's written that to an 11-0 record, just like Bill Belichick has written it.
Amazingly, I got Romo, T.O., and Patrick Creighton, and I didn't pick my team
right,
either.
And the rest of us got scraps, and we're just trying to be competitive.
Chris Ferreira's people have been telling him that.
That's true.
He has people. He does have people.
He has no people.
In his head, he's got people.
Interesting, in the gambling world, a lot of people on the Eagles this week. I don't know if it's just because of the big spread.
It has to be.
It's the same people who are always on the Patriots, too. That's why I think it's interesting. But, until someone proves that they're not a high school team, I'm going to go with the Patriots to win and cover, although I'm not so sure Feely being in there doesn't give the Eagles a better chance to win.
I think it does, actually.
Not to win, I mean to
to compete, you mean.
Yeah. To stay within 22.
Right.
I've said it before, I'll say it again. I'm not picking against this team either way all year. So New England, I'm riding them all the way.
As long as you have good reasons. I, too, will take
sure you
want
to stick your neck out like that?
Yeah, I'm sure.
I've said it before, and we'll continue to say it.
I don't like the Eagles. I don't think the Eagles are very good. 22, maybe, this talk, you had a thing, Fred, that we were talking about off there with Danny Sheridan from the USA Today.
Right.
He was saying that the Patriots would be a 3-plus touchdown favorite over the Giants if they knew the game was going to be played legitimately on both sides. In other words, if the Patriots might not be resting starters at that stage or whatever. I think I would take the 22 points with the Giants. I can't do it with the Eagles.
I'm going to take the points, but, you know, along those lines, somebody was saying yesterday or the day before that in that Giants game, they might have already locked up the number five spot. They may not be playing for anything last week of the season.
And there's a better chance of that because they got to play again.
Right.
As the five seed, they're playing the next week.
Right.
The Patriots aren't.
So it might be the Giants resting guys, actually.
So it might be 75-2.
It won't be the Patriots.
No. So I'll go with the Patriots both ways here. All right. We still got about 10 minutes left in the show, so let's take some phone calls, some emails. Anthony's in Naples. Anthony, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, the reason why I'm calling is this is really to convince Tom to take the Ruth's Chris in the bet.
Oh, absolutely. I'm with you there, Anthony.
Ruth's Chris.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Tom. Do you like steak?
I don't mind it.
You don't mind it, but you don't love it?
I don't love anything other than myself.
Oh, okay.
And your dog.
Because you have to understand, my girlfriend, actually, she used to work at Ruth's Chris. They actually buy the top 3% of the best steak in the United States.
So now Fred, who knows my salary, when we made this bet, decided that's the restaurant he wanted to go to.
When you open your mouth like you did, probably going to be around $100.
Yeah, you know,
100, 120.
You know what?
Oh, that's it?
I'll kick the crap out of Fred over this last month. I'll go to Ruth's Chris too.
You
so
should.
Eat that, Fred.
Here we go. All right, you know.
Yeah, that's going to be the best. You cannot pass that up. It's an excellent, excellent steak.
As long as it doesn't have fat on it, I'm okay.
Well, you order the prime
and get the sweet potato pecan, Tom. I'm telling you.
And I just got one question because you guys were talking about Rosie and Roosevelt Covland. Well, what's he got left on his contract, and could he get cut at the end of the year?
He has a big cap number next year, 7 and change, I believe.
Yeah,
so there's a chance because he's going to be asked to redo it or in some way alter that cap number to bring it down. So, yeah, if he says no and somebody taking money from him, he may say no. There's a chance he could be cut.
Yeah.
Which would really, you know, we've talked about earlier, Bruschi and Seau could retire. If Colvin's gone, if Rabel retires, all of a sudden you could be left with Adalys Thomas and not much else.
True. All right, guys. Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks, Anthony, for the suggestion.
So the top 3%?
That's good stuff.
Freaking
Fred. It's really good.
All right.
So what about aren't there other like steakhouses that are supposed to be on that level?
Oh, there are a lot. They're buying the top 3%, but they're not buying all of it. And, you know, top 3% of beef in the United States, it's a lot of meat.
But isn't the top 3% the best?
Yeah, but what he's saying is they're not buying
all
the top 3% could be, let's just say, 8 million pounds of beef. One restaurant's not buying 8
million. I thought he was saying they buy
the
top 3% of 100% of beef. The top 3% of that beef goes to them. And I was like, why would I go anywhere else if they're buying the best? Right? I mean, wouldn't that be an automatic go there for steak?
I see where your mind was going now, yes. But
why would I go anywhere else?
Once again, it's going in the wrong direction, though.
I learned it from watching you.
Dave claims that he's a senior writer for ESPN. He says, I don't know. But he says, by the way, Moss is better than Owens, always has been, and don't even email to argue. Moss has seen Tom Brady win 3 Super Bowls.
And
Moss
touchdown.
Moss has seen Brady clinch a bust in Canton at age 27. If Moss wants a ring, Brady will show him how to get it. That level of respect cannot be measured, nor can it be emphasized enough. As Dennis Rodman looked up to Michael Jordan, Moss does with Brady.
And Moss doesn't drop nearly as many passes as T.O. does.
But did we argue any of that stuff?
No, we all argued for Moss.
Oh, okay.
Even Tom actually turned around and said that he was wrong. Like the next thing, because T.O. had a couple of drops.
Too many
in that
drops.
Game.
For
way
me.
Too many drops.
It was
drops.
The Buffalo game.
Easy passes, too.
Brad is in Canada. He says, I'm in a raffle at work for 2 tickets to the Jets game. Cross your fingers for me. I wish we were playing Denver this year so we could really kick their butts. Watching the Pats games this year is almost a surreal experience for me. There's no suspense as to who will win. The question is how quickly they can make it 14-0. When the Bills scored to make it 14-7, I just shook my head and said, now you've just pissed them off. Result, 28 unanswered points. You guys aren't the only ones working today. Me too, except that I work at a hospital. I live in Canada, so we had our Thanksgiving 6 weeks ago.
I don't want to be your patient if you're listening
to us. Well, they don't really take the day off then.
Right.
One, you deal in life and death. Two, Thanksgiving was 6 weeks ago.
Plus, Thanksgiving is an American holiday. So anyway, because I live in Canada, we get the NFL Network games on TSN, the Canadian ESPN, at no extra charge, not a bad deal. You guys do a great job, and I enjoy listening to you every day. You have the best job on the planet, getting paid to follow the Pats, plus seeing every game live. Good work if you can get it.
Yep.
It's true.
You wouldn't know it from listening to Andy, but it is a good job.
What are you talking about?
He's never happy.
I'm always happy. Paul's the negative one. I'm always the one raving about what a good life we have.
This is what he does when Fred makes fun of Andy.
Yeah.
He immediately
turns it around.
How many times have I told you you're the best boss in the world, Fred?
Oh my God.
James from Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I agree with you, though. The games were not at all interesting yesterday. Here I was telling my youngest daughter that the two main traditions on Thanksgiving is eating and watching football. Then I turned the first game, and it wasn't long before we were looking for something else to watch. I do have something I want to get your thoughts on. Could the lack of injuries so far this year be a result of the change from the run first to set up the pass philosophy to the just pass early and often to get a big lead? The reason I ask this is my belief that when you pound the ball and the other team does the same, it tends to lead to more injuries. If you get a big lead early, then the other team has to throw the ball more to catch up, and your defense does not get so banged up when they just need to cover receivers and rush the passer.
I'm not buying the argument. I think it's just the luck of the draw.
I just think the Patriots have been lucky. But my impression this year, apart from the Patriots, it's been a lot of injuries in the league. It's just that the Patriots have been lucky.
I think there's always a lot of injuries everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any reason that you can point to.
To me, it seems that there's been more really, you know, important injuries around the league, but they just haven't affected the Patriots.
I think the only difference is the second part of your statement. I think that this year, and the Patriots have been hit as hard as anybody.
They were due. Because I think it's cyclical luck, whatever you want to call it, and they were due for a year where they didn't get any. But aside from a team that maybe gets a bunch of muscle pulls and you say, well, they didn't do the preseason conditioning right or something, I just think most injuries are just luck, chance, and it's just it's part of the game.
All right, we'll close out with Joe from Canada. All Canada's working. Yeah, they're all working
today.
Must be hard to fill 8 hours a week talking about the Pats when each game's a blowout and the results of each upcoming game is a foregone conclusion. Thank God you have Fred's driving skills, Captain Crunch, Paul's lack of career prospects, whether Andy has hydrocephalus or cranial elephantitis, camouflage thongs, Paul's speech impediment, flashing Jets fans, chodes, douche canoes, gutter cleaning robots, shots at people now deceased, thanks for apologizing, Andy, $175 BB guns, and the similarities between the academics at Penn State and Stanford to entertain us with. Tremendous. Okay, what is more surprising to you this year? 1, 10-0 and possibly 19-0, or 9-1 Packers?
9-1 Packers.
Easily. I agree. 2, 5-5 Chargers or 5-5 Broncos?
5-5 Broncos.
Well, because Andy had them.
And I knew the North Turner was going to kill the Chargers. I told you that all offseason. You didn't listen.
Good teammate Randy Moss or good teammate T.O.?
Oh, I don't think T.O. is a good teammate. Randy Moss, I don't know, I guess.
They're still treating him with kid gloves to make sure he stays a good teammate.
Yeah.
Ooh, got to get him a touchdown late or else he'll whine and
bitch
about
it. And he still can't have any kind of an interview session without mentioning himself 111 times.
Right. He's got funny-shaped shoulders.
He does, yeah.
He's like, he kind of runs, very low.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got huge traps.
It's like he's hunched over.
He's
like,
weird.
Yeah, he's weird. Derek Anderson.
That's what happens when you start with a small frame and then pack on all this chemical-induced muscle.
Derek Anderson, more TDs than Peyton Manning or less interceptions than Peyton Manning?
What was that now?
Derek Anderson, more TDs than Peyton Manning or less interceptions than Peyton Manning?
Derek Anderson, more TDs.
2-8.
I didn't know he was going to play, so he wouldn't have had either.
What's more surprising, 2-8 49ers or 4-6 Bears?
2-8 49ers.
I
4-6 Bears.
Yeah, 4-6 Bears.
We knew the Niners were going to steal the day they made a trade for the Patriots.
I thought they were going to be better, but I thought the Chicago was a pretty good team.
I knew the Bears had Rex Grossman, so I'm not surprised that they're all.
And they went 13-3 and went to the Super Bowl with them.
What's more surprising, drop off in the AFC or improvement in the NFC? I don't know if we've seen either.
I haven't seen a drop off in the NFL.
How about drop off in the NFL aside from like three teams?
Right.
Yeah. The only thing I would say about the AFC drop off is maybe instead of five or six really good teams, it's down to three. But I haven't seen really a noticeable improvement in the NFC.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks for listening, everyone out there that's working at home.
That last game, though.
Who doesn't live at home? We all live at home, right?
I live at home.
I need to be put in
the homeless people.
All right. We will see you next Tuesday after a big Patriots win.